Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, October 13th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, busted. CNN fabricates another news report, this time using one of Jeb Bush's staff members to play the role of an antagonist to frame Donald Trump.
I don't think that you're a friend to women.
Within minutes of this scripted performance, CNN producers put together a hit piece and ran with the story.
Donald Trump is always using the C word about women.
I cherish women.
Did mom ever stare at you like this, Donald?
Yet another example of the long list of BS stories brought to you by CNN.
Boy, did I almost look stupid.
Plus, live coverage of the liberal authoritarian Democrat debate as we take a look at the face-off between the criminal Hillary Clinton and the socialist Bernie Sanders. Live coverage begins right now on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome to our special live edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. David Knight and Joe Biggs will be joining me in the studio at 7:30 Central. We're going to be giving you our take on the Democratic debate. It's being touted as the greatest show on earth. If you've got a 3D headset, you can actually catch a glimpse of what the candidates are doing when the camera is not on them. Now, I don't think that you're going to be able to kind of swing around the candidates and see the strings being pulled there by the puppet masters, but it should be pretty interesting. Be sure to tweet us your questions using hashtag DemDebate, and we'll go ahead and read those live on the air. The debate ends about 9:30 Central, so we'll give you about a 5-minute wrap-up after that, and we know that you all really enjoy the commentary here, the Mystery Science Theater InfoWars style. Now, it'll be very interesting to see if CNN has yet another plant in the audience. They're just seething there, foaming at the mouth to spin the narrative on a plant that was in attendance at the No Labels event. They sort of touted it as this just regular female audience member who had some pretty pressing questions there for Donald Trump. Let's take a look at their spin on what happened that day.
I cherish women.
And just when Trump thought it was safe to go on to the next question.
If you become president, will a woman make the same as a man? And do I get to choose what I do with my body?
You're going to make the same if you do as good a job, and I happen to be pro-life.
As for what his questioner did with her body, hands on hips, eyebrow, cocked.
So there she was, just your average angry female audience member, no makeup, the cross-armed, you could see her body language. Well, it turns out she wasn't just your average female in attendance there who was upset with Trump's take on things. She's a paid political operative of the GOP and a paid staff member of Team Jeb Bush. Now, this was an article up on the Drudge Report out of the conservative treehouse, so good job, guys. Now, they kind of put this whole piece together, looked at her entire social media accounts, which are being scrubbed as we speak. She's trying to erase all evidence of this. She is a current staffer for Senator Kelly Ayotte, and she's also working in New Hampshire on behalf of the Jeb Bush 2016 campaign. Now, it's interesting because she asked Trump about, you know, will I be able to do what I want with my body, Donald Trump? Well, the woman that she's working for is also pro-life. So I'm probably generalizing here, but I imagine this girl is also pro-life, but that doesn't matter to her. She's willing to play the thespian, play the role, play her part, take down the whole party, make the GOP look like old, angry white men that don't care about women, just to play that opposition there and take down, eliminate any political opposition. Now, of course, Donald Trump quickly responded to all of this, and he said, how can Jeb Bush expect to deal with China, Russia, and Iran if he gets caught doing a plant during my speech yesterday in New Hampshire? So that's, you know, a very interesting take on things. I don't think that they expected that people were going to find out that this girl was actually a paid GOP staffer there working with Jeb Bush. Of course, they came out and said she did it on her own accord. It was not authorized. But this is the kind of thing that we're going to be seeing out of CNN. They'll work with the GOP as long as it's going to help them take down, a common enemy there. And let's not forget, one of the debate moderators there, Anderson CIA Cooper, was a member of the Clinton Global Initiative. He's an esteemed, or they call him a notable past member there on the Clinton Global Initiative's website. So I'm sure he's going to be really tough on Hillary Clinton there tonight with the questions. Of course, she's going to get a lot of softballs thrown her way. It'll be very interesting to see who actually asks her about her flip-flop on the TPP, or who asks her about Benghazi or her email scandal or what have you. It'll probably be another person there on the panel. But no wonder that trust in the media, trust in the government is at an all-time low. We can blatantly see that they're setting this up to be a great spectacle, and then they're not even going to ask any really tough questions. Here's another article, something else CNN just recently did when they were covering the Oregon shooting. This is a video someone sent us in. Sandy Hook footage spliced into Oregon shooting news. Does the corporate media take us for idiots? So now, I work in media. I know sometimes we are running low on B-roll, but you're not running so low on B-roll of a school shooting that you have to go back and use footage from Sandy Hook. So, I mean, that right there is, it's not laziness. I can't say it's laziness. That is blatant propaganda there. For anyone who's not really paying attention, they would just see that same scene over and over again. They could have found some other B-roll. Unfortunately, there have been plenty of other opportunities for them. So, you know, they obviously do think that we're idiots. And this is why trust in the media, trust in our government is at an all-time low. And Obama says, you know what, this suspicion of the government is paralyzing, especially when they're trying to do big things. And of course, by that, what he means is that it's paralyzing to his agenda. He said, if you think the government is the enemy, and that too is a running strain in our democracy, that's sort of in our DNA. We're suspicious of government as a tool of oppression. And that skepticism is healthy, but it can be paralyzing when we're trying to do big things together. Ah, well, we're not really trying to do big things together with you, Obama, especially when it comes to your very confusing agenda there in the Middle East. So here's a question a lot of people are asking. Is Obama actually trying to start World War III? Like we've said, he is poking the bear there with Russia. Now, Russian airstrikes have been seen globally. They've hit a number of areas there, attacking ISIS. And so that is leading people to wonder, well, how are there so many areas that they're attacking? I thought the U.S. has been fighting ISIS for over a year now. How did they miss all of these different areas? Well, now it's being reported that the U.S. has provided 50 tons of ammunition now to some moderate rebels there. They've airdropped them in to some areas. And they're also providing weapons to a new group, the Democratic Forces of Syria. This group includes the Kurdish YPJ militia, which has been accused of engaging in war crimes. So we're actively dropping weapons into the hands of the very people the Russians are trying to bomb into oblivion. And then, of course, blaming the Russians for that. Joe Biden has come out and said in the past that there's no such thing as moderate rebels there in Syria. We've reported how they actively defect to ISIS once they get the weapons and the training. So the stage is being set for World War III, but most Americans are so distracted. They see the video right there on the news and they say, wow, I wonder how ISIS is getting all of those Toyota trucks. Well, here's the answer.
Alex Jones here for InfoWars.com to break down and reveal the mystery behind why ISIS has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, perhaps more than 1,000, late model armored, militarized Toyota trucks, mainly from the United States. Now, we reported on this in 2014. I'm going to show you some of the articles. The mystery is solved, and it's been solved since the beginning, but it's hiding in plain view. And if folks can understand this simplistic report that's factually based, you can understand everything. The globalists hide everything in plain view like we're idiots. Al-Nusra, for 4-plus years, has been funded by NATO, the United States, Turkey, and many others. It is Al-Qaeda in Syria. That's in Reuters. That's in Associated Press. They admit that's who the Russians are now targeting. That is Al-Qaeda. ISIS is another Wahhabist spinoff of that, creating Islamic State in an area between Syria and Iraq. So that's a separate new part of the caliphate. The takeover of Syria and the area around Damascus that's going to be left to Syria is being done by Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra. The U.S., quote, gives the armored vehicles, the missiles, the weapons that Saudi Arabia gives them and others give them to Al-Nusra, who are the good rebels, Al-Qaeda, and then they give them to ISIS. And that's even come out in Congress. But the mainstream media just keeps acting like this isn't a fact. The head of Defense Intelligence went public a couple months ago. We've played the clip here. They've had the deputy head of the CIA go public because they're all covering their butts. They're either covering their butts or they're signaling to everyone that treason has been committed and something needs to be done. Our military, remember 3 years ago, said we're not going to be the Air Force for Al-Qaeda in Syria, so they changed the name to ISIS to confuse the public. So last week, the Treasury Department comes out and says, we want to know where the trucks came from because they're involved in import-export controls through the Commerce Department. And so they say, we want to know at the Commerce Department and at the Treasury where the Toyotas came from. Well, we know a bunch of them came from Texas. I'm going to show you the articles. It's been in NPR a year ago. Even NPR got it right. It's been in The Spectator. It's been in InfoWars. It's been known. It's been known for a long, long time, just buried in the articles. And then they say, where did they get them? Are they covering their butts or are they trying to signal that the public should investigate this? I think it's a little bit of both, but here are some of the articles. Here's an article at Washington's blog up on Infowars.com today that breaks it all down and has the link to The Spectator. And it also has the link to the public radio. And you can go to public radio, PRI International, part of public radio, and you can read the article right here. This one Toyota pickup truck is at the top of the shopping list for the Free Syrian Army and the Taliban, 2014. And then you go into the article, it admits down here in the story that it's come from the United States, given to Al-Nusra, and the State Department, that's Hillary Clinton, gave the non-lethal aid to the Syrian rebels, Al-Nusra. Okay, boom. Now let's continue. ISIS drives Texas-made Toyota trucks, apparently modified for U.S. Special Forces. And then it gets into how these were made in Texas. And it links to all the admissions from the U.S. Army orders, and it's total proof. Infowars.com. Here's another one. Where did ISIS get all those Toyotas? This is last week, 7 days ago, October 7th. Christian Science Monitor. U.S. official asked how ISIS got so many Toyota trucks, ABC News, 7 days ago. So there's that report. Then, of course, ISIS got a bunch of, quote, weapons from Iraq accidentally that the U.S. military left for them. They've got pre-crime systems watching our troops before they commit a crime with computers. Beyond 1984, Minority Report. But the people running the Pentagon and running the White House are arming Al-Qaeda, and that's okay. And it's hidden in plain view. Where's the current crime monitoring on this? Let's continue here. I mean, if I try to bring fruit into the country, I'll get arrested. We're out of the country. But you can just give Stinger missiles to Al-Qaeda and trucks, and nobody gets in trouble. Here's another one. Four-wheel drives to ISIS, what longbows were to the English at, you know, their big battle. And then it goes on, the Welsh longbowmen. Meanwhile, there's the big speaker fight, and it turns out that Obama is supporting, of course, Paul Ryan. We do not need another neocon rhino controller in there. And we've got Jeb Bush
planting staffers in attendance to try to bring down Trump. And the reason I add these stories to the end of this whole thing about the mystery of the trucks that is no mystery is it just shows how rigged everything is in the establishment. And if we wake up to the rigging of this and don't act like inept, illiterate morons politically, geopolitically, it's over. So there is no mystery to the Toyotas. There is no mystery about al-Nusra. There is no mystery about Islamic State, ISIS, ISIL. They play on the public's ignorance to confuse people. The U.S. military, the CIA, Defense Intelligence, the FBI, everybody knows what's going on here. And most people don't like it, to the credit of the government. And they're saying, American people, stand up, do something. We need you to speak out. We need the press to speak out and talk about it. But ABC News, everybody's like, gee, where'd the trucks come from? We don't know. We gave them to the nice rebels, al-Nusra, and now they're in ISIS's hands. And clearly some of the trucks came from other places, too, that Saudi Arabia bought and gave them. So they're confusing the public. Saudi Arabia bought a multi-shiploads from Japan. So there's different groups, but a bunch of them came from Texas. And we just gave you all the proof right there. This is sensational. And what's old news is new news. We know this. The general public doesn't know it. So now someone in the Pentagon, someone in the Treasury Department, they've all been saying this, say, look at where the trucks came from. Look at where the trucks came from. We should look at where the trucks came from because we know where the trucks came from. All right, I'm going to throw this back over to Paul Joseph Watson, transmitting and broadcasting worldwide, and I'll be back in the saddle, Lord willing, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, right here at the tip of the spear, Infowars.com, Infowars Live, and Infowars Nightly News. If you're watching this transmission or listening to it, get out there and spread the word because you are the resistance. You are the victory. You are the answer. Pray to God, lead God, and direct you, and you're unstoppable.
Did you know that only six corporations control 90% of what millions of Americans see, hear, and read every single day? It's the illusion of choice. Think about it. The mainstream media is owned by only a handful of mega corporations with vested interests. But on the other hand, the internet is an interconnected network of billions of sources. So you can research information for yourself from multiple sources, or you can blindly accept what you hear or read in the mainstream media, never questioning what you are being told. This gives you a false sense of reality. I mean, do you actually know what you think you know? Or have you been programmed to accept someone else's version of events? Think about it. This is Darren McBreen, and I want you to break the matrix at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv and listen to The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on your mind.
Your liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fuse it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigyrex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfowarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfowarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfowarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfowarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
the elite are ruthless, they may simply decide to exterminate the mass of humanity. If they are humane, they may use propaganda or other psychological or biological techniques to reduce the birth rate until the mass of humanity becomes extinct, leaving the world to the elite. In April of 2000, Wired magazine published an article, "Why the Future Doesn't Need Us." What makes this article, in quote, even more interesting is the footnote at the bottom of the article. Why would tech industry leaders go out of their way to quote Ted Kaczynski's Unabomber Manifesto in not one but two separate publications? As experimenters have demonstrated, feelings such as hunger, pleasure, anger, and fear can be turned on and off by electrical stimulation of appropriate parts of the brain. Brainwashing and mind-reading devices seem like something directly out of a fictional novel. Robots, cyborgs, and life extension technology. Now, to some disbelief, these technologies are a science reality.
Secretary of Energy O'Leary during the Clinton administration admitted over 500,000 Americans were used as experimental guinea pigs.
But of course, our medical research is focused on the diseases and disabilities of old age.
All these new things that are now at the forefront of technology and philosophy, and which is, combined, we find it in transhumanism.
Many feel that technology will advance, and there's not much anyone can do to prevent that, so what's the point? But is this really the world we want to live in? Is there another way? Hundreds of thousands of people marched in Berlin on Saturday to protest the TTIP. Now, this is another part of that trifecta of secret trade deals. And these included environmental groups, charities, and opposition parties. They organized this protest. They said about 250,000 people showed up. A police spokesman said it was just 100,000 people, but that's a lot of people here protesting the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, which is going to create the world's largest free trade zone. It'll encompass some 800 million consumers in areas ranging from food safety, environmental rules, banking regulations. Now, the European Commission is saying that TTIP could boost the size of the EU economy as well as the U.S. economy. But opposition has been escalating, saying that this is giving too much power to multinational companies at the expense of consumers and workers, which is exactly what we have been arguing as well. Of course, this has all been negotiated in secret, and people don't really know what's going into this trade deal other than what's been released by WikiLeaks. Now, they are protesting this. This is so important to them that hundreds of thousands of people are out there protesting. They're not protesting the fact that all of these migrants and are being flooded into their country and they are being forced to pay for that. Okay, that is a huge thing. But no, they're protesting the TTIP. Now, 20 of these migrants have actually gone and sued Germany. They're suing the Berlin office there of health and social affairs, saying it took too long for us to get our welfare payments. So 20 people got together and now they are suing Germany for taking a little too long on their handouts. And that's this entitlement society now. But, you know, the Germans are not protesting against that. They're not protesting against the fact that German schools are forcing kids to clean up after these migrants. They're calling this a work experience project. The kids are being made to cook, clean, and change beds at a special asylum center, centers that are being set up throughout Germany. Of course, parents are outraged, and this is authentic. This is an authentic letter that was sent out to eighth graders, preparing eighth graders for practical work experience, taking care of migrants. And of course, as we reported, German schools last month have ordered girls not to wear short skirts, so they don't offend anyone or provoke any sexual assaults. So the Germans are not protesting that. They are protesting the TPP, the TTIP. That is important to them. Why are hundreds of thousands of Americans not protesting this? This is a big deal, and this is going to affect all of us. But there is virtually a media blackout on what this is going to mean for our country going forward. Why is that? Well, in addition to the media blackout, Americans, the only thing that we produce are selfies. They're so obsessed with these selfies now. And all of this social media, which Matt Drudge has accurately called these little ghettos of the internet that people are being corralled into, and they're being told what to care about and told what to think is important. People are actually getting plastic surgery now so they'll look better in their selfies, because this is what we produce. Now, granted, this is not being negotiated in the TTP, but it might as well be, because this is people's net worth now, their selfies. Also, here's another article out of the New York Times. Compulsive texting is taking its toll on teenagers. And you know what? It's taking its toll on plenty of adults as well. I see so many relationships being ruined by people who can't even carry on a conversation with each other. But now this is our future. We got the selfie takers and the people who text so much that it's affecting their attention spans. They can't learn in school. They've got lower academic performance. They snap if you interrupt them, so it's causing all these behavioral problems. And then I just had to put this article in there because it just made me so darn furious. This is another reason why no Americans are out there protesting one of the biggest trade deals that's being negotiated in secret on behalf of multinational corporations, and your future is hanging in the balance. But people are actually paying thousands of dollars to go get pickup artist lessons from some total D-bags. And this is what is wrong with the world. Scroll down. I want you to look at the picture of the guy with the pink hair. Okay, this is the leader. This is who people are paying thousands of dollars to teach them how to pick up women. This guy brags that he's made out. There he is. That is who is the leader, the new hero of the men of the world. And he's bragging to these men, you know, just take his pickup artist lessons. He's made out with 230 women in 1 year alone. 27 of those were porn stars. Oh, yay. So there he is. Gosh, what a stud. This is the future of the men in this country. This is who they are getting their lessons from on how to interact with women, how to dress. I mean, that's just so attractive to me. Pink mohawks and leather pants on 50-something-year-old men who aren't even rock stars. So you know what? Is it a wonder why the elite really aren't worried about bringing us in on their plans and are planning on wiping us all out? Because we just sit there and we let them, and we don't even care about it. But never fear. 34 super rich families are set to survive the apocalypse because they are setting themselves up with doomsday bunkers, because they know what's going to happen. They know absolutely what's going to happen. We're all just going to sit around idly by watching the greatest show on earth. It's coming right up after this break. We're going to see who our next leader is going to be on the left. Will it be the left or the right? Oh, I don't even know. It's all the same old thing. Now, our coverage is coming right up. You're not going to want to miss it.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host for this fourth hour, the news wrap up. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up tonight, the Democrat debate. Of course, we're going to be covering that live as part of the nightly news. That'll begin at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. That's when our news broadcast begins. The debate will begin about a half hour into that broadcast. So we're going to pick it up, cover it live like we did during the Money Bomb. We're going to have live comments. You'll also be able to contact us via Twitter, hashtag DemDebate, D-E-M debate. You'll be able to send us your questions, your comments, and we're going to take a look at it because, you know, it's interesting to see how CNN is talking about how differently they're going to cover this debate than they did the GOP debate. CNN, Anderson Cooper will be the moderator this time. They had Jake Tapper moderate the last GOP debate, which was on CNN. Anderson Cooper says he's not going to try to mix this up and pit one candidate against another. Well, we are. We're going to pit them against their records. We're going to pit them against themselves, essentially, as well as against each other. I think it might be more interesting than people think. I don't think Bernie Sanders is going to rock the boat, and I think Hillary Clinton is going to play it pretty safe unless somebody gets her mad. But I think that you've got three candidates there, two of them especially, Webb and O'Malley, who are pretty intelligent. I think they will come out swinging because they realize that from a horse race standpoint, this is essential for their survival. We had a DNC officer say she was disinvited from this particular debate because she had asked for more of them. They're only going to have six Democrat debates. It's a very, very controlled process.
I'm I'm running for president. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, and I hope you'll join me on this journey.
I might as well just...
Disapproval for Hillary Clinton? Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt today at the InfoWars store. Hurry up, because these things are selling out faster than Hillary Clinton.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News live coverage of the Democrat debate, the very first Democrat debate. One, however, of only six debates. These are going to be very rare. I'm David Knight. Joining me are Leanne McAdoo and Joe Biggs. We're going to be giving you live commentary as the debate unfolds on CNN. Now, if you're aware of this debate at all, you are in the minority. As we learned from a Reuters poll today, only 45% even of registered Democrats know about this debate. That's how much of a secret it is. Nevertheless, it's been constantly promoted by CNN. We had CNN News anchor Brooke Baldwin say, you can feel the excitement building here, except nobody is watching because nobody is watching CNN. So we're trying to get the information out there. We're trying to do our best to help CNN here, but maybe, I guess, to get their ratings up.
Yeah,
but,
they chose that.
Interesting that they had a record crowd, a record audience with the last GOP debate. It had nothing to do with CNN's power as a network. It had everything to do with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump isn't going to be in the Democrat debate tonight. So this is going to be interesting to see. It will be interesting, I think, to see what happens with the minor candidates that nobody's heard from, because I think they will come out swinging. I don't know so much about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. I think they're going to play it kind of safe. But maybe these other guys, they understand, I think, that this is their only chance to really get an audience.
Right. They've got to take some of those dwindling poll numbers away from Hillary. And, of course, the only way she's going to come out on top, I guess, is if she gets aggressive and doesn't just play with her canned answers like normal, because people aren't buying it anymore.
I think she's going to come out swinging. I mean, she's been attacked from every side possible. I think this is, she probably is going to feel like this is going to be her last chance to really get her message across on a large scale to see if she can grab some last-minute voters. But, you know, for the most part, people aren't buying it. You know, I'm interested to see just how out of control her answers are going to be. I mean, it's just going to be mind-blowing to hear some of these answers to these questions. And plus, I want to find out if they're actually going to ask real questions to the candidates, unlike they did the first time in the GOP debate, where it was kind of like, you know, let's stage these little fights and bickerings between one another.
Well, they did that deliberately in the GOP debate. Jake Tapper said that he was deliberately going to mix that up, and he did. It was very much a tabloid debate, but Anderson Cooper says these are serious candidates, and these are serious issues that they're going to talk about.
So we need to throw them softballs, because serious ball players like softballs tossed to them.
That's right. One of the things you need to understand, we all understand that this is a horse race. We all understand that this is a distraction from things that are really going to change your life. But you also need to understand the strategy of thinking globally, thinking nationally, and acting locally. Understand that this is all a distraction to keep you from doing anything. Where it's really going to make a difference, that's at the local level, at the state level, where you can contain the federal government. They want you to get involved in the horse races that you're going to have the least impact, and that would be the presidential race.
Right.
But it's still important to see what they're saying. Understand that Hillary Clinton, I think, in my opinion, is probably one of the most ambitious people in American history. That's not a good thing. Her ambition has made her ruthless. Remember that as first lady, she tried to take over health care pretty much single-handedly, tried to nationalize it. Now, that has been done with Barack Obama, but still we need to, and you can also understand, I think, where they're going with this, because we know that the Republican leadership, people like Boehner, even though he's says he's going to be leaving, he's going to find a replacement just like
right.
People like Boehner, people like McConnell, they are going to push this statist, centralized agenda that you're going to hear tonight in this debate. They're going to be pushing that towards you. They're going to say that they're against it, but they're going to be working behind the scenes to advance this agenda. So you need to look at this to see where everything is headed. You need to understand, look at it as an intelligence gathering mission. Look at it as another way that you can learn how to connect with people. See how they're trying to connect with the masses so you can understand how to communicate the ideas of liberty, not of centralization and control that these people are selling.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to see what some of the more obscure candidates up there have to say. Everyone's kind of like, who is Jim Webb? Who is this other guy, Lincoln Chafee? And We'll see, because they really do build it up. They pick their horses and then they...
Yes.
You know, everything is geared toward them in the race.
Yeah, we've got three candidates who basically are at zero in the poll. I think that we will see some interesting moves from O'Malley. Of course, he was the mayor of Baltimore, then became the governor of Maryland. He is pushing an agenda that's really not that much different from Bernie Sanders, really. They're all pushing an agenda of national service. Well, I would say with the exception of Webb, they're pushing an agenda of national service. Go into national service and you can get your tuition paid for. Or in the case of Bernie Sanders, he wants to give everybody free tuition. That's simply about keeping the youth occupied because they have exported our jobs and they have imported workers. And so we have depression era unemployment amongst our youth. So what do? Well, you keep them busy. You give them make work projects. You send them to college where they can be thoroughly indoctrinated into political correctness. And then you say, if you'll go to work for the government, we'll pay for your college. Otherwise, you're going to be an indentured servant. You won't be able to dismiss that massive debt even by declaring bankruptcy.
Right. Well, it's kind of like the story tonight with the students, the eighth graders in Germany who are being trained now to go and clean up after the migrants because that is their work experience that they're getting. This is their future now. I mean...
Exactly.
Free common core.
And guys, that was something that Obama's been doing with his work core and all of, you know, he had those commercials when he first started, I Am Fierce, all that with all the youth. And, I was in New Orleans at one time and we actually saw some of these groups getting together and they really bought into the whole government thing. If I do this work service now, then I can go and work for very little money out of college, but then they'll pay for my college back. And you may or may not get that, you know, that real work service in there.
Well, and of course, they want everybody to be beholden to the government. You either work for the government or you're dependent on the government for your money. And that's the key thing is that they want to keep that dependency.
Right.
They want everybody to work for the government. The only sector that's expanding now, of course, is the government sector. If you want a high-paying job, go to work for the government. That's the reality of the situation right now. That's not the way it should be.
And that's all these young people pushing for that socialism where the government owns everything, is in control of everything, because they've done such a great job. I don't know why the youth are being so duped in.
Yeah, all you have to do is walk on the campus, like a major college campus, and see all these socialist signs everywhere.
Everywhere.
Socialist meetup groups for socialists and that. I mean, it's...
They want to tear down the Confederate flag and raise the hammer and sickle, like replace one with another.
The longer you stay in school, the more leftist you turn, because they constantly push that political correctness. And the students don't really understand that that is a tool of mind control, a fog of semantics that they push with political correctness. And that's what makes it so dangerous. And that's why the Democrats are all pushing some kind of stay in college forever plan. It also, as I pointed out, there's no jobs for anybody. So that's one way that you try to control unrest. That's to keep everybody in some kind of a government institution.
Oh, God, there she is.
Yeah, there's Hillary.
This is going to be the worst part of this 2 hours for me.
Well, you know, there's a lot of fighting going on within the Democrat Party because there are so few debates. And remember that Hillary Clinton, in spite of the fact that she's recognized as a front runner, in spite of the fact that she's the only presidential candidate
And either party that has Secret Service protection, that's how much they think of her chances of winning. That's Jim Webb coming on there. In spite of all of that, she only had her first live campaign appearance on September 17th, not even a month ago. That was with Wolf Blitzer on CNN. And she was famously asked the question, can you name an accomplishment? And she drew a blank.
Wow. And this is something that people have been saying repeatedly for at least a year now. What has she accomplished? Her own supporters couldn't even name one thing she accomplished. You would think she would have had that.
She's good at networking.
Yeah.
She can set up secret servers. She's definitely
very
got that
good
under
at
control.
Well, actually, she's not very good at setting it up.
Yeah.
Apparently it was very good run by a bunch of hacks.
She's not very good at keeping it secret, that's for sure. She can definitely set them up and keep them in her house. And I guess she understands how air conditioning works to keep them cool.
Yeah.
But keeping the
hiding
emails
the bodies
themselves secret.
And...
Exactly.
There was an article about Bernie Sanders, and they said five words that tell you why Bernie Sanders will not become president. And he was asked what he thought about capitalism, and he said, well, I'm a democratic socialist. And even the people on the left said, that isn't going to sell in the general election, and I don't think it is. Now, on some issues, Bernie Sanders is good. He opposes the Patriot Act. He opposes the out-of-control NSA. I don't know that we'll have any questions on that. We don't seem to ever have any substantive questions. I wonder if they will ask the Democrats what they would like for their nickname to be from the Secret Service like they did the Republicans. That was absolutely ridiculous to ask them questions.
Anytime I ever see someone with a Bernie Sanders sticker on, it's usually a college kid.
Yeah.
He seems to have a very large, trendy college, you know, crowd thus far.
Yeah. Well, those are the selfies getting plastic surgery
selfies.
Yeah, the selfie lineals. That's our domestic product. Did you see Hillary Clinton's face just a moment ago as she was looking up at the flag there? Look at her. Oh,
she's looking for a teleprompter because she doesn't know the words of the song.
I think she's searching for a heart and she can't find it. Looking to see where she can put her hand.
Hey, and don't forget, guys, people can join us on Twitter at hashtag DimDebate and also at Real Alex Jones. And I think Darren McBreen is over in the Twitter area ready to tell us what's going on. What's going on in the Twitter station there, Darren?
That's right. Darren McBreen here in the Twitter booth or the Twitter room, if you will, here at the InfoWars studios, deep behind enemy lines. Look, if you want to send us your questions at Twitter, go to at Real Alex Jones, and the hashtag is DimDebate. DEM debate, because them Democrats are pushing the socialist agenda. You know, we want to know, tell us what you think about Hillary Clinton, the rest of the candidates. Tell us what you think about the socialist Bernie Sanders. And I'm also curious what you think about what happened yesterday to Donald Trump. One of Jeb Bush's interns infiltrated a Donald Trump event, and it looks like Jeb Bush got busted big time. It's all over the news, so I'm curious what you guys think about that. Look, I'm going to be here all evening. I guess Joe Biggs is going to be joining me later. Also, InfoWars reporter Kit Daniels. So once again, at Real Alex Jones, hashtag Dem Debate.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most interesting things that's happened in the last several days. And that was that amateurish, transparent trolling of Donald Trump by that Jeb Bush operative.
Right.
Absolutely amazing. And Travis found a picture of the guy sitting next to her, and he's a known troll. He was sitting there next to her with his ID stuck in his pocket. It's like, you know, what am I doing? And he was looking away from her, looking away from Trump, and like looking all around like this. I mean, something was really up with that. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah, but, I'm sure there's
I got busted.
There's probably a YouTube video somewhere of some prank that he pulled or question that he asked in the crowd, but. Just the way CNN took that and ran with it, you know, oh, look at this, this angry woman. This is the GOP. This is how women feel about the GOP. And it's not even
they took the Oregon shooter and made him white.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah. You can't put anything past them.
Well, it is the CIA news network.
And
Anderson Mockingbird Cooper.
That's right.
Exactly. Who is also a Clinton Global Initiative.
Oh, yeah.
One of their noble. Distinguished members. There.
He's the guy who's going to treat this debate with the utmost seriousness after they did the hokey soap opera debate with the Republicans. And, of course, they've reduced this to 2 hours, which is a real blessing because there's only five or six candidates.
Yeah.
And we really don't want to be here for 3 hours, and neither do you. But I think it'll be interesting because there was an article that came out today talking about how to beat Hillary Clinton, and they were talking about how Obama beat her in the last election. And I thought it was very interesting. They were talking to people from the Obama campaign, and they said Hillary was trying to define 2008 as a change from George Bush. Is this a problem that the Republicans are making? The Republicans, I think, are trying to make this a change from Obama instead of trying to transcend that and say, let's make America something great. Not just make America great again. That's the Trump slogan. Everybody says, let's make America great. But define that, you know, define that and say, let's treat people with respect. Let's respect individual liberty. Let's restore the Constitution. Let's do something, you know, some grand idea like that.
Right.
Okay. Like, let's obey the Constitution. You know, right. Wouldn't that be better than to just make this a case about going after Obama? Right. Even to the extent the way they talk about Obama trade, okay? Instead of talking about it being global governance, as Senator Sessions has pointed out, they talk about it as being Obama trade. And they're the ones who are pushing it in the Senate
right.
and in the House.
They're like, that's such a catchy name. Let's stick with that. And that, of course, every election cycle, that's what happens. It's the last year for, you know, the outgoing president. So he doesn't really even care. He's definitely going to get the bad press. Everything will be his fault. So then it's the same sort of left-right paradigm. Mm-hmm. Let's move away from what he left us with. And you're right, it's the exact same cycle. But now, here they're actually trying to get us to vote for a Bush or a Clinton. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious how rigged it all is.
Well, it's funny because everybody wants to work on the environment. You know, when I was a kid, I could go outside and play in the woods and do that. Now, I was just in Oregon. There's signs up. I mean, it's illegal to literally go out and be in nature.
Yeah.
If you want to live off your own water, your own power supply, that's something that we need to get back to.
Right.
Why can't we go out and enjoy nature? Have to have a license to fish, to hunt. That is ridiculous.
Right. And you're absolutely right. It starts with the local elections, and that's what they don't ever want you to focus on.
That's right.
They pretend like it's not really that big a deal. All we should care about is this election.
If they can keep you focused on a celebrity election that is so far distant from you, then they win. Now they're starting to start the debate here. They're talking about the rules of how they're going to do it. So we're not going to pick up with that just yet. I want to go back to this article again because there were some other things they said besides not running against Bush. This is what they said. They said, it was political gamesmanship that she was referencing to, saying what others wanted to hear. But then they say that they were going to go against her divisiveness. Who has been the most divisive president we've ever had? Barack Obama, playing the race card constantly. And then saying, it's submission to powerful interests that shut out the voices of average Americans. And yet, this is the Obama who said that's the basis of his campaign when he ran back in 2008. Obama, who says that we don't want to have the submission of powerful interests that shut out the voices of average Americans, that's what they're doing with these trade agreements. And that might be one of the things that comes out of tonight that might be positive. If there's going to be a discussion here about the trade agreements, and that may only come up because of Hillary flip-flopping her position.
Well, it's funny because when he first started his campaign, what did he say? He was going to be the most transparent president ever.
And he has been. Transparently criminal.
Yeah. And Hillary's even coming out and saying, oh, I'm going to be very transparent.
Yeah,
that's they also said they were going to have whistleblower protections. Both of those promises were scrubbed from the White House website because he's like, oops.
That's why it's very important. These
and guys, if I could interject, notice 49 minutes before we actually go to any introduction, any debate, 49 or well, I guess it was 19 minutes because we started at 7:30. Mm-hmm. But all this pomp and circumstance going on. Let's get down to business. They're only going to do it for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they're trying not to get these people to talk.
Here they're giving their resume somewhat and introducing themselves, and we don't really need to see that. If you want to know that, you can go to their website. I just think it's absolutely amazing, and it's a lesson for all of us. As Obama talks about having background checks and so forth and so on, we need to run background checks on these people.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find out what they're about. We need to see if they're just selling us a line that's been crafted together by careful consultants who know exactly what you want to hear.
Give them drug tests, too.
Yeah, drug tests. That's right.
Give them they should be disarmed.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy right here has got the best resume on the panel.
Yeah, he actually wrote his books. He's actually written 10 novels and 2 nonfiction books, unlike the other people whose sole accomplishment is to hire a ghostwriter for their books.
They know how to use a scratch and sniff book.
Jim Webb is an interesting guy. He may have some interesting things to say on foreign policy, but he's a lot more interventionist than I would be, than I think the founders wanted our country to be, but certainly different from the rest of the group. He was Reagan's Secretary of the Navy. He's a decorated Marine veteran. He has experience in Vietnam, and he's written a lot of articles about that. From that perspective, I don't think that he would be as likely to go into war as many of these other candidates, and he has talked to one of the few things that he talks about on his website is the need to have a declaration of war. People who have been there don't want to see this actually be taken so casually and done on the orders of one individual.
Well, I'm curious if they're going to bring up the gun debate whatsoever. I'm sure they will because obviously they want to take advantage of all these horrible tragedies and try to push their own anti-gun agenda.
Right.
But I'm curious to see what O'Malley's going to say.
Yes.
That Baltimore has some of the strictest gun laws. Let's see how, I want to ask him, how's gun control working for you there, buddy?
Because
there's a mass number of murders there in Baltimore on a daily basis. That in Chicago, Obama's little area. I mean, it's ridiculous how these guys think they can get away with pushing this. And when you actually look at the facts, it's just not working out. We don't need more gun control. We need more armed citizens who can protect themselves, their families, and their property and stop these things from happening. Because when you take guns away, guess what? There's still going to be mentally crazy people out there, mentally ill. And guess what they're going to do? Well, overseas. They're using knives now.
Right.
And they're stabbing people. What are we going to go to next? Ban knives? And that's going to cut to a rock? Hammers? Whatever. They're going to find something. We can't just ban tools. What we have to do is get to the root of the problem and start holding these pharmaceutical companies
accountable
for these things. Because these side effects are what causes these.
Yes.
Right. Well, and the thing is that you have your guns at home to protect your family, protect your children. The most valuable thing that you have, and then you send them off to school.
Law-abiding citizens respect the weapons.
Makes sense.
They have a fear. They understand what it can and can't do. It's the mentally ill that run around waving them and doing harm. You don't see law-abiding citizens, people with a good head on their shoulders,
can't
acting that
crazy.
Way.
When they talk about background checks, one of the things that they're definitely not interested in the background is, are you on SSRI drugs? Are you on murder suicide pills? They don't.
Well, that's an automatic. That's an automatic push through to get the gun.
Yeah,
and then they're going to go and blame the gun for it after.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah, there was the article that came up today of the actress who was saying, "Well, hey, it's like cars. You know, we need to make it a privilege, and just understand that when they talk about cars and how dangerous cars are and how it needs to be a privilege to move around, that there really isn't a." I don't think that it ought to be a privilege. I don't think that we ought to be licensed, have to have a license to move around. And understand that they're going to use that safety issue to shut us down and not let us move around completely. They're going
to
take away all driving and control. Exactly. And as we saw earlier today, we've got Google is already starting to collect air pollution readings, from even being able to detect cigarette smoke and report that back to
government. Are they
going to
detect the pollution coming out of Air Force One and all those other planes flying around all these debates?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I bet they'll miss that statistic right there.
So we have Governor Martin O'Malley, former Governor Martin O'Malley, giving his resume right now. As soon as they start the questions, we're going to go to the live audio feed and see how they respond with this. But again, as we look at this, there was this back and forth between a Hawaiian congresswoman and Deborah Wasserman Schultz, who is the DNC chairman, running these debates. And Governor O'Malley, as well as many others, have said we need to have more debates. Bernie Sanders says everybody wants more debates but Hillary Clinton. But Hillary Clinton runs the Democrat National Committee through Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and she doesn't want to be vetted.
Right.
And she better get her practice in before she gets to the general elections, quite frankly, because she's afraid of standing on her record. She's afraid to defend her past, and that's really the problem. That's why they want to keep this contained. And, of course, that extended today. They had yes, you did, no, I didn't, back and forth between that congresswoman and Debbie Wasserman Schultz saying that she was
disinvited.
And I thought she had an interesting comment because you can kind of see this in Wasserman Schultz. She said, this is very much like a high school, the way this thing is being run. And I could just see that kind of petty high school attitude in the Democrat National Committee through Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Is this the
first question, or is he giving his introduction?
He's still.
So here's Bernie Sanders giving his introduction. I noticed a lot of people were talking about how he had youthful indiscretions as a left-wing polemicist. So nobody wants to go back and uncover his writings at this point in the mainstream media. But I can guarantee you that if he gets the nomination, there's going to be a lot of opposition research on what Bernie Sanders had to say in the past.
Right.
He was a real firebomb. He ran as a socialist. He's been a socialist from Vermont, but now, of course, he's running with with the Democrat Party, and he is offering us a socialist platform here. Something
Vermont has the highest addiction to heroin in America.
Right. Well, they talk about how, who was it, Jim Webb, that had sort of some interesting sex scenes in his fiction books.
Yeah.
But those were fiction.
Yeah.
He was writing about some very interesting, bizarre things in nonfiction. Mm. And they won't go there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're very careful about
war on women and all that. It's
climate change is real, he says. It's caused by human activity. Yeah. We'll prove it, Bernie. We've seen a lot of evidence to the contrary. You might want to take a look at solar activity, Bernie, and we're not going to let you put this in, even with the blessings of the Pope. You're not going to put in a global regime to tax us. We're just not going to stand for that, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So, but that's what they're going to sell. That's a tool of global control. That's what they're trying to establish. They've got climate change, they've got open borders, and they have the new trade treaties. It is a triple whammy to bring in global governance. Every one of the problems that we see now, we're told, can only be solved globally by erasing borders, by getting rid of national sovereignty. That's what we're seeing continuously. That's the narrative that he's feeding us at the moment. And of course, he's got his own flip-flopping program, problems with gun control. He was perceived by the Democrats to be soft on gun control, so now he's come out jousting at the mythical beast, assault weapons. Because anything can be an assault weapon, right? They don't have a definition for assault weapon.
This I just want to interrupt here. I want to say that CNN, I just heard CNN talking about, they're already making excuses for the ratings.
Uh-huh.
Because they're trying to compare this to the 23 million viewers that that the GOP debate had on Fox. But that was because of the Trump factor. And let's face it, without Donald Trump, not as many people are going to be watching this evening. But Donald Trump, he is watching the debate, and he is putting his remarks on Twitter. And check this out. So far, he says, the Hillary love fest on CNN is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the other candidates, especially the non-criminal ones. So that's the first of Donald Trump. He's going to be posting all night as well.
I know. He's got no filter.
What are we going to change out that pantsuit that she always wears for a nice orange jumpsuit?
Hashtag Hillary for prison.
Hillary for prison 2016.
Yes, you can get your shirt right here. Go to InfoWarsStore.com for your Hillary for prison t-shirt.
We should check in with Rand Paul and some of the other candidates that like to speak out on Twitter that don't have a Twitter filter.
That's right. And, you know, Darren, you mentioned that 23 million. They got 23. I don't know if it was Fox as well, but CNN did get 23.1 million viewers for their Republican debate. But of course, most people, even about half of the Democrats, are not even aware of this debate, or I guess we could say could care less. Maybe that's a good thing, except that they're not focused on anything that's happening at any level.
Well, CNN says it's not Donald Trump. It's because of the baseball playoffs.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
You know, whoever's playing.
I kind of think there were things happening when they had the GOP debate with Donald Trump as well. But we'll have to see about
that. I'm sure that wasn't planned at all in advance.
Well, this is certainly a do or die opportunity for a couple of these candidates, Governor O'Malley, as well as former Senator Webb. So we'll see what happens with them. Lincoln Chaffee, I don't really know a great deal about Lincoln Chaffee.
She just said the wealthy will have to pay their fair share of taxes. When's the last time she's done anything? I mean, how can this woman even, like, seriously get on TV and say that she can relate to middle-class America, to anybody out there?
Well, Joe, she was broke. She and Bill were broke when they got out of the presidency.
Yeah.
Don't you remember?
It was hard out there for
they could barely scrape a couple of million together.
I mean, it's funny. She used to be this anti-gun hip or anti-war hippie, and now she's turned into one of the biggest warmongers.
Look, Hillary has been on every side of every issue. I mean, she was a Goldwater girl at some point. It's whatever political opportunity extends itself to her. And she's willing to do anything and everything to get power. That's one of the things that makes her so dangerous.
Well, even with this TPP flip-flop, you remember how she held her tongue and she said, I'm going to wait till the negotiations are over to say something about it. And it wasn't until days after the negotiations were over that she says, well, this version of it, I don't agree with it. Meanwhile, for years, I think, 45 times?
And has she really been able to see it? Only the people who go through special non-disclosure agreements that are also members of Congress or the Senate are allowed to see that. How did she see it? How does she know what's in it? We don't know. We're going to ask some questions. Let's pick up with the audio feed, folks.
Some Democrats believe you change your positions based on political expediency. You were against same-sex marriage. Now you're for it. You defended President Obama's immigration policies. Now you say they're too harsh.
Won't even make eye contact with her.
Dozens of times you even called it the gold standard.
He's like, I'm sorry, Miss Clinton. I'm sorry.
Will you say anything?
Of course, it was Cokie Roberts that says she knows everything about everything, every issue.
Over the course of my entire life, I have always.
So he just hit her with all the things she flip-flopped on right off the bat.
I've been consistent over my entire life.
Let's get this out of the way.
Absorb new information. I do.
Wow.
And just completely deny the world.
Everything that the voters are concerned with, he hit her all in one piece.
3 years ago. Mm-hmm. That I hope
one question, so they can get that out of the way. And
it was just finally
last
week. And in looking at it, it didn't meet my standards. My standards for.
Can I get a little more audio here?
For Americans, for raising wages.
How can she even say the word standard?
And I want to make sure that I can look into
standard.
The eyes of any middle-class American and say, this will help raise your wages, and I concluded I could not.
Secretary Clinton, though, with all due respect, the question is really about political expediency. Just in July, New Hampshire, you told the crowd, you, quote, take a backseat to no one when it comes to progressive values. Last month in Ohio, you said you plead guilty to, quote, being kind of moderate and center. Do you change your political identity
based on
who you're
talking to? This is an issue of saying that they're going to,
like most people,
this is about jobs, and quite frankly, it's not about jobs. It's about global governance. It's about corporate governance, and they're afraid to say that even as Democrats.
I don't take a backseat to anyone when it comes to progressive experience and progressive commitment. You know, when I left law school, my first job was with the Children's Defense Fund. And for all the years since, I have been focused on how we're going to unstack the deck and how we're going to make it possible for more people to have the experience I had, you know, to be able to come from a grandfather who was a factory worker, a father who was a small business person, and now asking the people of America to elect me president.
Just for the record, are you a progressive or are you a moderate?
I'm a progressive, but I'm a progressive who likes to get things done. And I know how to find common ground.
So,
I know how to
stand my ground. She doesn't want to use the S word, socialist.
Even
but you have to understand, they love to play with
never
semantics.
Had a good word to say about
progressive
me,
is socialism.
But we found ways to work together on everything from reforming foster care and adoption to the Children's Health Insurance Program, which insures 8 million kids. So I have a long history of getting things done. Rooted in the same values I've always had.
Senator Sanders, a Gallup poll says half the country would not put a socialist in the White House. You call yourself a Democratic socialist. How can any kind of socialist win a general election in the United States?
Well, we're going to win because first we're going to explain what Democratic socialism is. And what Democratic socialism is about is saying that it is immoral and wrong that the top 0.1% in this country own almost 90%, almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%, that it is wrong today in a rigged economy that 57% of all new income is going to the top 1%, that when you look around the world, you see every other major country.
And how did they do that?
Healthcare to
they do that by controlling government. Government is how they use what the tool that they use to rob people. That's why this isn't going to work. Just like their campaign finance reform, they want to take away all individual contributions and make the government the sole financer of all campaigns. The answer to everything for a socialist is to give the government absolute and total control. That's what's wrong with socialism. He identifies a problem, the concentration of wealth. The concentration of wealth is coming from the corruption in government. These people who are buying the candidates, who are buying Hillary Clinton, who are buying all these other candidates on the Republican side as well.
Denmark is a country that has a population of 5.6 million people. The question is really about electability here, and that's what I'm trying to get at.
He holds Denmark up as an example. I can tell you when we were there in Copenhagen covering the Bilderberg meeting, there were several people who came up to us and talked about how they had been impoverished by a government that took away everything that they earned and leveled everybody to the lowest level. And that's precisely what the founders called socialism. It didn't have the name socialism at the time. They called it leveling. There were people who advocated these exact policies, and they called them levelers, taking everyone down to the lowest common denominator by stealing their property. An equality of results, not an equality of opportunity. That's what he's talking about, and he's talking about using the very instrument of plunder that the corporatists have used to get their 1% wealth, using that to try to give us justice. That isn't going to happen.
Right. It's a very important distinction. People need to understand equality of opportunity, not the equality of outcome.
So much and so many have so little, by which Wall Street
Now, he says casino capitalist process. He doesn't say crony capitalism. You understand the difference the way he does this? Casino capitalism as opposed to crony capitalism. Of course, I guess Donald Trump could be part of both. Yeah. Casino and crony capitalism.
let me just follow up on that, Anderson, because when I think about capitalism, I think about all the small businesses that were started because we have...
All right, so far, it's just Bernie and Hillary.
...for people to do that and to make a good living for themselves and their families. And I don't think we should confuse what we...
She's talking about how she started a small business?
America, which is save capitalism from itself. And I think what Senator Sanders is saying... certainly makes sense.
I don't understand why she didn't stay in the investment field because she made so much money in just one single investment on cattle futures. She's one of the most successful investors America has ever had if she did that honestly.
Right. Which she did.
But she did. Because it was just a payola.
Right.
To turn our backs on what built the greatest middle class in the history of the world.
Senator Sanders? I mean, everybody...
We're in trouble when Hillary Clinton is defending capitalism.
We have got to encourage that. Yeah. Of course, we have to support small and medium-sized businesses. But you can have all of the growth that you want, and it doesn't mean anything if all of the new income and wealth is going to the top 1%. So what we need to do is support small and medium-sized businesses, the backbone of our economy... but we have to make sure that every family in this country gets a fair shake.
We're going to have a lot more on these issues, but I do want
Well, that's nice, but he doesn't offer a blueprint on how he's going to do that. And we know exactly how that works. When they establish rules, it's like a spider's web. It catches the small bugs, but the bees, the big bugs, go right through it. And that's the way these government regulations work out consistently.
Yeah, what's that measurement, a fair shake?
Yeah.
Anderson, you're looking at a block of granite when it comes to the issues.
Whether it seems like pretty soft granted, though. I mean, you've been a Republican, you've been an independent.
Can you hear what I said on the issues? I have not changed on the issues. I was a liberal Republican, then I was an independent, and now I'm a proud Democrat, but I have not changed on the issues. And I opened my record.
Actually, when he introduced his candidacy, he talked about whether or not we should go back onto the metric system or not. So, yeah, I guess he hasn't changed his issues.
Using the tools
still about metrics.
To help the less fortunate.
The tools.
Time and time again,
would
I have
be
never
metric
changed.
Or English tools?
You're looking at a block of granite when it comes to the issues.
So why,
I have
why
not
change labels?
The party left me. There's no doubt about that. There was no room for a liberal, moderate Republican in that party. I even had a primary for my reelection in 2006. I won it. But the money poured in to defeat me in Rhode Island as a Republican. That's what we were up against.
Governor Malley, the concern of voters about you is that you tout your record as Baltimore's mayor. As we all know, we all saw that city exploded in riots and violence in April. The current top prosecutor in Baltimore, also a Democrat, blames your zero-tolerance policies for sowing the seeds of unrest. Why should Americans trust you with the country when they see what's going on in the city that you ran for more than 7 years?
Yeah, actually, I believe what she said was that there's a lot of policies that have led to this unrest. But Anderson, when I ran for mayor of Baltimore in 1999...
She actually, just for the record, when she was asked which policies to name two, she said zero tolerance. I mean, there's a number of old policies that we were seeing the result of that distrust of communities where communities don't want to step forward and say...
You know, when they talk to him about this,
it's a direct
it's interesting these people be selling gun control.
Let's talk about this a little bit.
At the same time, they're concerned about out-of-control federalized police. Do they really want to give the out-of-control federalized police absolute monopoly over force? And to me, that is a cognitive dissonance that nobody has really explored inside the Democrat Party. All these people calling for gun control for civilians. Take the guns away from everybody in the public, but give unlimited amounts of weapons and shoot first curriculum to the police to go out there and hammer people with.
Yeah, because they're highly trained police officers. They don't make mistakes.
Yeah, they're highly trained to shoot first.
Yeah.
That's the way they're training them now.
Yeah, well, that's
very different training than they used to give the police.
6 months of training.
They disarm you, and then they shoot you and kick your door down.
Yeah.
Well, I said shoot you and then kick your door down. That's how it works.
That's right.
Lawyers go to school for seven years to learn the law, and they still don't even know it all.
Because of drug dealers on their corner. We've saved over 1,000 lives in Baltimore in the last 15 years of people working
talk about
together,
the war on drugs.
The vast majority of them
are they
going to
talk about
poor,
all the people
black.
Who got in prison?
It wasn't
are they
going to
talk about
day,
the unconstitutionality and the violence and the corruption of the war on drugs? We're not even going to see that from the Democrats, of course. Both parties are in on that scam.
In 1 year alone, though, 100,000 arrests were made in your city, a city of 640,000 people. The ACLU, the NAACP sued you, sued the city, and the city actually settled.
All these Democratic organizations going after Democrat mayors and governors. It's interesting.
Well, while he was mayor, they arrested one out of six people in the city.
But they declined every year after that as we restored peace in our poor neighborhoods so that people could actually walk and not have to worry about their kids or their loved ones being victims of violence.
We got Kit Daniels over in the Twitter room. We're going to go see what he's got to say.
But together as a city,
I got two tweets that was about really interesting.
It was about principle.
One is from Joshua Roberts, who says that Bernie Sanders is a demoralized, useful idiot who cannot differentiate between capitalism and a global NWO cartel. And I find that really interesting because I rarely hear Sanders ever say anything about the Federal Reserve. And he's always attacking capitalism, but we really haven't had a capitalist system in the world since the Federal Reserve was put in place in 1913. And then we have the IMF and World Bank and so on and so forth. So I kind of want to see how many times Sanders says anything about the Federal Reserve fiat currency, if at all, tonight. And another tweet that we have is from a gentleman by the name of Michael. He says, do you see Hillary's eyes when she was reading the reply in front of her? Kind of like she already knew what the question she was going to be asked, and she already had a response in place, you know, before the debate. We've already seen this with the White House, with the press conference, where they handpick their own journalists to, you know, bring in the questions that the White House already knows, already have an answer. So it's just this whole, points it back to this whole idea of this media manipulation and how the, White House and the establishment kind of push this narrative that's very, controlled from the top down.
You know, we just had an interesting, question here, Kit, while we were covering that. They just asked Jim Webb, they criticized him for not supporting affirmative action, and he said, you know, when we leave behind poor white people in Appalachia because they're white, we're not really serving people. I thought that was an interesting back and forth. I'll have to go back and look at the tapes and see what happened with that. But you're talking about Bernie Sanders being afraid to tackle the Federal Reserve, talking about economic justice and everything. He talks about taking money out of politics, but you know what we need to do? We need to take the politics out of money, don't we, Kit? You know, that's really what the problem is. We've got the Federal Reserve and these other people.
Harry's asking about guns. And
yeah, let's get his response to guns. This is Bernie Sanders.
Sanders has a D-minus voting record from the NRA. Let's also understand that back in 1988, when I first ran for the United States Congress, way back then, I told the gun owners of the state of Vermont and I told the people of the state of Vermont, a state which has virtually no gun control, that I supported a ban on assault weapons. And over the years, I have strongly supported instant background checks, doing away with this terrible gun show.
There are background checks.
And I think we've got to move aggressively at the federal level.
Keep talking about
legally,
this loophole.
When a legal, law-abiding citizen goes and purchases a weapon, there are background checks. Criminals obviously don't go through background checks because what? They are criminals. They do backdoor deals, they get them out of a trunk of a car, and they go out and commit a crime. They keep talking about what criminals are doing and completely ignoring what you and I do. Legally going
through background checks are absolutely irrelevant to these recent shootings that they're grandstanding.
These people are mentally ill.
Do you want to shield gun companies from lawsuits or
not? This was a large and complicated bill. There were provisions in it that I think made sense. For example.
So he's asking her this so that Hillary can respond.
Yes.
Because this is what she. Yeah. I mean, they're setting it up for her.
And that somebody goes out and does something crazy, that gun shop owner should be held responsible. I don't. On the other hand, where you have manufacturers and where you have gun shops knowingly giving guns to criminals, or aiding and abetting that's not a case.
He's creating a straw man argument.
Yeah.
And he said this Sunday, he said, well, when there's places where there's a lot of guns being sold, you have to do something about that. They have liability.
Here we go.
This has gone on too long, and it's time the entire country stood up against the NRA.
This is so transparent.
Set them up and she knocks it down.
Right.
And even the majority of gun owners do. Senator Sanders did vote 5 times against the Brady bill. Since it was passed, more than 2 million prohibited purchases have been prevented. He also did vote,
except for the Fast and Furious
as he said, for this community provision. I voted against it. I was in the Senate.
Except for all the ones that they dropped into the moderate rebels there. Syria.
I was a carpetbagger at the same time this bill came out.
In America. Everybody else has to
be Sanders tough enough on guns, CNN asks.
Not the gun manufacturers. And we need to
you know what?
Stand up
it isn't gun control, it's people control.
We're going to bring you all in on this, but Senator Sanders, you have to be able to respond.
As the senator from a rural state, what I can tell Secretary Clinton, that all the shouting in the world is not going to do what I would hope all of us want. And that is keep guns out of the hands of people who should not have those guns and end this horrible violence that we are seeing. I believe that there is a consensus in this country, a consensus that said we need to strengthen and expand instant background checks, do away with this gun control loophole.
No, there isn't a consensus. There isn't a consensus, Bernie, because every time there's one of these phony shootings, the number of gun purchases soars.
Right.
So there's no consensus for taking our guns, Bernie.
Skyrocketed under Obama.
You passed gun legislation as governor of Maryland, but you had a Democratic-controlled legislature. President Obama couldn't convince Congress to pass gun legislation after the massacres in Aurora, in Newtown, in Charleston. How can you?
And Anderson, I also had to overcome a lot of opposition in the leadership of my own party to get this done. Look, it's fine to talk about all of these things, and I'm glad we're talking about these things, but I've actually done them. We passed comprehensive gun safety legislation.
Those people bragging about how they infringed our protected rights
what the polls say,
under the Constitution.
We actually did it. And Anderson, here tonight,
those are God-given rights that are enshrined in the Constitution. They're proud of infringing on them, and they want to do more.
Sandy and Lonnie Phillips are here from Colorado.
Oh, Sandy and Lonnie Phillips.
Jessie,
there you go.
Was
they get
one
around,
of those who
they?
Lost their lives in that awful mass shooting in Aurora. Now to try to transform.
And they sued a gun company and got
they went to
court. Nailed on that,
well,
didn't they?
Sometimes progress does happen
right.
When you file
a frivolous
court.
Lawsuit, and they got blowback financially from that too.
Senator,
those are the same people
the
that we ran into
rigged.
At the San Antonio open carry rally that Alex talked to.
Military ammunition.
Yeah, I think Chris Christie's actually got a lawsuit going right now with Krispy Kreme. He's suing them for being obese.
Didn't even ask where it was going, and not only did their case get thrown out of court, they were slapped with $200,000 in court fees.
That's
because
right.
Of the way
that's
that
right.
The NRA
don't
gets
file frivolous lawsuits. That's a lesson for Lonnie.
Back seat. It's time to stand up and pass comprehensive
that's
gun
a good book title.
A
lesson for Lonnie.
Yeah. You guys need to understand that you're not going to take the guns. You can grandstand all this all you want, but you're not going to take them.
Weaknesses in that law, and I think we have to take another.
As Reason Magazine pointed out, there are several steps. We got to get people elected who will do this dirty deed. Then you got to go through and change the Constitution. You got to create legislation, and then you got to go around and confiscate it.
Rural states are different.
Good luck with that.
Whether we like it or not.
Let's go to Kit now. Kit, what's up?
Yeah, I got two more tweets for you guys. I want to share. One is from Thought Sandwiches, who says, Noam Chomsky, Michael Moore, and now Bernie Sanders, they tell you the truth and give you a false solution under the left-right paradigm. Now, I'm not really convinced that Bernie Sanders is always telling the truth, but what interests me about this tweet in particular is that I notice a lot of college kids, they flock to Bernie Sanders because they think he's anti-establishment, but this guy really is, I mean, he's kind of like the Pied Piper. He's definitely an establishment candidate. I mean, socialism by its very nature is establishment. I mean, Hitler was pushing socialism. Fascist Italy was pushing, Mussolini was pushing socialism. I mean, socialism and the establishment, the status quo, has always been intertwined. And here's another tweet, if I could scroll up here.
Yeah, he was telling us about the concentration of wealth, and certainly that's a problem. But it's a false description of how that happened and a false solution that involves even more concentration of power into the government's hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And this other tweet, guys wearing the same shirt Joe Biggs is.
Hang on a second, Kit. Let's hear what Jim Webb has to say about guns.
The first is the issue of who should be kept from having guns and using firearms. And we have done not a good job on that. A lot of them are criminals. And a lot of the people are getting killed are members of gangs inside our urban areas, and a lot of them are mentally incapacitated. Mm-hmm. In the shooting in Virginia Tech in 07, this individual had received medical care for mental illness from three different professionals who were not allowed to share the information. So we do need background checks.
We don't want to check if they're on drugs from big pharmaceuticals.
Away from them, but we have to respect the tradition in this country of people who want to defend themselves and their family from violence.
Senator, yes,
people are going back and forth here for 10 minutes here. You know, there are people at high levels in this government who have bodyguards 24 hours
hey.
A day.
Hey, whoa, someone's actually going to say something.
Good for you, Jim.
Does not have that.
Hashtag disarm Obama.
Their family.
Senator, Governor.
Whoa, that's gutsy. That's gutsy to say that in a Democrat debate.
Yes, sir.
Hashtag disarm Obama.
That's like Ron Paul telling the Republicans, don't start another war and getting booed.
That happened time and time again. When legislators step up to pass common sense gun safety legislation, the gun lobby moves in and tells the people they're coming to take away your guns. And they're successful at it. In Colorado and other states.
You know, just labeling your gun control issues as common sense doesn't make them common sense. It doesn't make them any less authoritarian. It doesn't make them any less about confiscation. It's simply the way the Democrats like to use semantics and labels to deceive people. And that's calling it common sense, calling it an assault weapon. It's absolute total nonsense. We need to see through their methods, the way that they label and use semantics.
A lot of the common sense legislation that they are saying, it already exists.
Yeah.
Those laws are already on the book. So it's.
I wrote right back to them and laid out what it actually did. And that's why not only did we pass it, but the NRA didn't to petition it to referendum
I want to move on to another issue, which is in the headlines right now. Another crisis making headline. Secretary Clinton, Russia. They're challenging the U.S. and Syria. According to U.S. intelligence, they've lied about who they're bombing. You spearheaded the reset with Russia. Did you underestimate the Russians as president? What would your response to Vladimir Putin be right now in Syria?
Well, first of all, we got a lot of business done with the Russians when Medvedev was the president and not Putin. We got a nuclear arms deal. We got the Iranian sanctions. We got an ability to bring important material and equipment
to our soldiers in Afghanistan. Hey, where'd your southern accent go?
There's no doubt that when Putin came back in and said he was going to be president, that did change the relationship. We have to stand up to his bullying, and specifically in Syria.
Stand up to his bullying.
That's right. He can't bully our bullies.
We went to ISIS. And taking our people out of that's horrible.
They need to stand up to his killing ISIS. He's bullying ISIS.
Why is he bombing our moderate rebels that are so nice and really aren't Al-Nusra or ISIS?
Or Al-Qaeda.
Wow.
And I think it's important, too, that the United States make it very clear to Putin that it's not acceptable for him to be in Syria.
Look, we all understand
that
the U.S. government was the one that began all these color revolutions, started the secession of Ukraine from the Russian Federation.
Why is it acceptable for the U.S. to be there? Explain that. Why?
Putin can't bomb people. We can bomb anybody. And Obama's drones can bomb anybody.
Right. You're talking about and it's not a war crime when we bomb a hospital there in Afghanistan. It's okay.
That's what Obamacare is. Drone strikes.
There you go. There's your next t-shirt.
I'm the former chairman, Anderson, of the Senate Veterans Committee.
Oh, God, here we go.
In that capacity, I learned a very powerful lesson about the cost of war. And I will do everything that I can to make sure that
he was on a committee. Why don't you talk to Jim Webb, who actually went to a war and actually fought a war and actually says you need to have a declaration of war if we're not attacked. I mean, this is just the American interventionism, the adventurism that we participate in, the lies in which they rig us into wars. And this is both parties. I mean,
what is this? This guy right here looks like the Pepperidge Farm guy. What does he know about war?
Yeah.
He learned a lot on the committee.
Governor Chafee, you were the only Republican.
Interesting, they wouldn't
in
talk
Senate
to Jim Webb about
against
that.
Against the Iraq War. You say Secretary Clinton should be disqualified from the presidency because she voted in favor of using force in Iraq. She has since said that her vote was a mistake. Why isn't that good enough?
Well, we just heard Senator Sanders say that it's the worst decision in American history. That's very significant. The worst decision in American history, I just heard from Senator Sanders. So as we look ahead, if you're going to make those poor judgment calls, a critical time in our history, we just finished with the Vietnam era, getting back into another quagmire.
Well, you might ask her about Libya and Benghazi. Maybe that was a mistake, too.
That poor decision in 2002 to go into Iraq when there was no real evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I know, because I did my homework. And so that's an indication of how someone will perform in the future, and that's what's important.
Secretary Clinton, he's questioning your judgment.
Yeah,
I think everyone is.
Very well, being on a debate stage, I think about 25 times with then-Senator Obama debating this very issue. After the election,
that's why I don't want to do debates anymore.
Secretary of State, he valued my judgment, and I spent a lot of time with him.
And I don't value it all.
In the Situation Room, going over some very difficult issues. You know, I agree completely. We don't want American troops on the ground in Syria. I never said that. What I said was we had to put together a coalition. In fact, something that I worked on.
A coalition of ISIS to hold Americans at bay and keep them at home in fear for their lives with all these different threat levels and oranges and yellows and the TSA.
Yeah, they got a coalition of ISIS and Al-Qaeda, Saudi Arabia, Al-Nusra, all these different groups. That's their coalition. Yeah.
To our friends and neighbors in the region.
She should have a political debate muzzle, one of those things on her.
Right. But don't let Putin bomb ISIS, even though he's bombed many different areas that apparently the U.S. has been fighting them for more than a year now, and they didn't find those areas that Russia's found in about a week. So,
Senator Sanders, I want to bring you in here. My question for you is, as a congressman, you voted against the Iraq War, you voted against the Gulf War, you're just talking about Syria, but under what circumstances would a President Sanders actually use force?
Yeah. So we want to have war in this country. Are you going to give us the wars we want?
First of all, she is talking about, as I understand it, a no-fly zone in Syria, which I think is a very dangerous situation.
Yeah,
could lead
right
to real
that.
Problems. Second of all, I heard the same evidence from President Bush and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld about why we should overthrow Saddam Hussein and get involved in the war. I would urge people to go to BernieSanders.com, hear what I said in 2002, and I say without any joy in my heart, that much of what I thought would happen about the destabilization, in fact, did happen. So I think...
And as he talks about this no-fly zone in Syria, it was Rand Paul who said recently, what you're talking about here is drawing a red line in the sky over Syria, telling the Russians, do not cross that, even though the Syrian government, even though the Iranian government are inviting you there, you better not fly there or we're going to come and attack you. I mean, that
is absolute insanity.
That's Dr. Strangelove level insanity.
They can fly there, though, and drop 50 pounds of ammunition.
Yes.
And drop more weapons to other groups, whoever they decide.
That's right. That's why they need those disappearing drones from DARPA.
Right.
When our country is threatened, or when our allies are threatened, I believe
that we need coalitions. Let's go back to Kit and see what he's got on social media. Kit?
Yeah, I got a great tweet here from Hornet. It says, was Hillary talking about gun control in Benghazi? Now, it really catches my eye because Hillary and also Obama, they talk about gun control here domestically in the U.S., but you don't, when it comes to arming Syrian rebels, they don't talk about gun control there.
Right.
I mean, let's say that they're right, that the Syrian rebels are in fact moderate and secular, even though they're not. But there, you don't see President Obama or even Hillary calling for gun background checks for moderate Syrian rebels. They're just giving guns over there, like, freely.
Well, didn't they spend, like, $500 million, $50 million or something vetting? Those are their background checks?
Well, that's a great point. And they just paid $6.25 million to train some moderate rebels. They're equipping them.
$500 million on five people, so $100 million per day.
Who then
defected to ISIS?
Well, and, of course, as we pointed out multiple times, I pointed out 2 days after there was a shooting in Oregon, we had Obama do his own hospital shooting. And, of course, they can't be bothered to even investigate what went wrong. That went on for an entire half hour, even though they were calling and telling people, you're attacking a hospital, you're attacking a hospital. They had given the information prior to that to the Afghan government, to the Pentagon. That's not being investigated. We have to be concerned about one mentally deranged person on pharmaceutical drugs, and we all have to give up our guns for that. But we can't even get any control over the Obama administration or over the military. Nobody is going to even answer to what happened there. There's not going to be
Obama any investigation. Obama is the first Nobel Peace Prize winner to bomb another Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Yeah, because that was totally fraudulent.
Let's take everyone's guns.
But to be clear, David, they are investigating themselves.
Yeah,
and it will be thorough.
Well, what they're doing is they're going to throw money to the victims, as that's the typical American solution. Let's just throw money at it. You know, if the police beat and kill people, we'll give the survivors some money. If we bomb a hospital for a half hour, we'll give survivors some money. Yeah, and we'll have the taxpayers pay for it. But we are not going to do anything to reform the situation. We're not going to put anybody in jail. We're not going to fire anybody. Instead, we'll just charge the taxpayer, and we'll keep doing this over and over again.
Meanwhile, we just missed a Clinton cackle. You guys, we just missed the first Clinton cackle.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what you
had. Joe's on standby with the Clinton cackle.
Got the cackle. Here's instant replay. Okay, there we got it. She's playing the card.
Cackle and it's like a cackle followed then by awkward silence.
Here's the other ploy that they always use. My opponent endorsed me in 2008. That's what she's saying now about Governor O'Malley.
How many of these guys have gotten endorsed or taken payments from Trump, I wonder?
Yeah. She was also endorsed by Goldman Sachs, by Monsanto, and a bunch of other major corporations that are now.
You know, diplomacy is not about getting to the perfect solution. It's about how you balance the risk.
Thank you.
And I think we have an opportunity here, and I know that inside the administration this is being hotly debated, to get that leverage to try to get the Russians
Thank
to
you.
Have to deal with everybody in the region to begin to move toward a political diplomatic solution.
Thank you, Secretary.
Senator Webb,
look, I agree with Donald Trump on the one thing what he said. Look, if ISIS is this big threat, if Russia wants to come in there and bomb the hell out of them, let them do it.
Right.
Why do we have to keep spending our resources, keep wasting our money, putting our soldiers, our airmen at risk to go do something like this? If he wants to go in there, by all means, take the reins, bomb the hell out of them.
And then they're dropping them ammunition and other groups who Russia is now trying to bomb. So they're giving them weapons, effectively
well, accidentally,
starting a proxy war with Russia.
Allowed terrorist movements to move in there. And the third was the recent deal allowing Iran to move forward and eventually acquire a nuclear weapon, which sent...
Are you talking about what, in his view, is behind Syria? I disagree that it's blowback. I think it was by design. Wesley Clark told us it was by design. We've seen the United States cementing the Arab Spring as well as overthrowing Libya and doing everything else in their power, including staging false flag sarin gas attacks.
Where we need to be, in terms of our national strategy, a focus, the greatest strategic threat that we have right now is resolving our relationship with China. And we need to do this because of their aggression in the region. We need to do it because of the way they treat their own people. And I would say this. I've been waiting for 10 minutes. I will say this.
They will not let them talk.
You've
let a lot of people go over their time. I would say this.
You agreed to these
Just go.
The unelected authoritarian government of China, you do not own the South China Sea. You do not have the right to conduct cyber warfare against tens of millions of American citizens.
We own the South China Sea.
And in a Webb administration, we will do something about that.
Senator Sanders, I want you to be able to respond.
Our flags are made in China.
I'd like you to be able to respond.
That's true.
Well,
our stuff's made there.
They don't own the South China Sea. We own the South China Sea. Darn it.
What are you doing?
There's a lot of resources there.
Oh, man, I tell you, this country's in a lot of trouble.
When he gets into that...
He doesn't seem to be the type of guy to regret a lot.
Well, I think he is already regretting what he did in Crimea and what he is doing in the Ukraine. I think he is really regretting the decline of his economy. And I think what he is trying to do now is save some face. But I think when Russians get killed in Syria and when he gets bogged down, I think the Russian people are going to give him a message that maybe they should come home. Maybe they should start working with the United States to rectify the situation there.
Secretary Clinton.
Yeah, they think they can do another Afghanistan to the Russians, you know, because that's where we created Al-Qaeda. We created the Mujahideen to get them bogged down in a Vietnam struggle. They have imported, and we've had the leaders of ISIS, al-Nusra, and everything talk about how they brought in Chechen jihadis that had been used by the U.S. to do surrogate attacks into Russia. They said, hey, there was nothing going on, so they moved us into Syria, you know, new war, new action. And that's what Putin understands. He understands these same Islamic terrorists that the U.S. has been using against them in Afghanistan, using against them coming in from Chechnya. They've now moved into Syria. This is a chance to get rid of them. He understands what's going on.
And David, the Iraqi government just gave Putin the okay to come in and help them fight Al-Qaeda and Iraq.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? They don't trust the Americans to do that because they know the Americans are arming and creating ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all these different jihadi groups.
But she dealt with Gaddafi.
Yeah, she dealt with him. Yeah.
Yeah.
She created a hornet's nest there in Libya.
We can't.
Didn't that place used to be like really beautiful and now it looks like, kind of the surface of the moon?
Right.
Yeah. So. It's a breeding ground for terrorism. Thank you. Thank you, Hillary and right. Obama. Great
that
job.
That was one of her accomplishments.
Yes.
Oh, she's,
explain where we were then and to point out that
she has a very strong feelings about what happened in Benghazi.
Right decision at the time.
Yeah.
And
it's
the
kind of
Libyan people
feeling.
Had a free election the first time since 1951. And you know what? They voted for moderates. They voted with the hope of democracy. Because of the Arab Spring, because of a lot of other things, there was turmoil to be followed. But unless you believe the United States should not send diplomats to any place that is dangerous, which I do not, then when we send them forth, there is always the potential for danger and risk.
Governor O'Malley?
Anderson, I think we are learning.
Especially
and
when
I told
I'm
them that
as
I called in the airstrikes. Oh,
yeah,
wait,
exactly.
I didn't call in airstrikes.
Yeah.
That we need to do a much better job as a nation of having human intelligence on the ground so that we know who the emerging next generation leaders are that are coming up to replace a dictator.
When is somebody going to come out and say we don't need to have an American empire? That every empire has destroyed its own country. That's what our founders said. We don't need to have intelligence on the ground to know who the up-and-coming leaders are. We need to butt out of this. We need to mind our own business. We need to come home, fix our economy, man our own borders, and this is absolute insanity. And we hear this from the Democrats as well as the Republicans. Nothing is going to change, no matter who gets elected in this.
Occurring in the way that we intervened in Libya. We had no treaties at risk. We had no Americans at risk. There was no threat of attack or imminent attack. There is plenty of time for a president to come to the Congress and request authority to use military force in that situation. I called for it on the Senate floor again and again. I called on it for it in Senate hearings. It is not a wise thing to do. And if people think
what if we obeyed the Constitution?
Try to get to the Tripoli airport today. You can't.
I don't say that word.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary,
oh, yeah, they're not going to talk about Constitution.
Vietnam,
yeah.
You're a Marine.
Yeah, what he's saying is we should have had a discussion, we should have had a debate on whether or not to go to war. That's what the Constitution says.
During
right.
the Vietnam
yeah.
War, the man standing next to you, Senator Sanders, applied for status as a conscientious objector. Given
right.
his history, can he serve as a credible commander-in-chief?
Now, everybody makes their decisions, particularly when the time there is conscription. And as long as they go through the legal process that our country requires, I respect that. And it would be for the voters to decide, you know, whether Senator Sanders or anyone else should be president. I will say this, coming from the position that I've come from a military family, with my brother a Marine, my son was a Marine in Iraq, I served as a Marine, spending 5 years in the Pentagon, I am very comfortable that I am the most qualified person standing up here today to be your commander-in-chief.
Senator Sanders, tell an American soldier...
What have you got going on Twitter?
Well, I got Steve here with at Demon Grunt 7 who points out that one of the Democratic candidates says that they're dropping the authoritarian bomb, which I find funny. You know, we had the one Democratic candidate called China authoritarian
mm-hmm.
when all of these people, like, they're bragging about how they're going to trample the Second Amendment rights and how they're going to expand the size and scope of the government. So, yeah, I find it very ironic that we're hearing Democrats using the word authoritarianism against China. But
yeah. He said that we're going to tell that authoritarian regime the South China Sea doesn't belong to you, China.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
we're going to fight over it.
That's amazing.
Brave men like Jim who fought in that war. Involved in that war. That was my view then. I am not a pacifist, Anderson. I supported the war in Afghanistan. I supported President Clinton's effort to deal with ethnic cleansing in Kosovo.
He just doesn't support the wars that he has to go fight.
Yeah, he doesn't support fighting himself.
Yes, I happen to believe from the bottom of my heart that war should be the last resort, that we have got to exercise our diplomacy. But yes, I am prepared,
Senator,
to take this country into war if that is necessary.
Very quickly, 30 seconds for each of you.
That's why we have to go after countries that didn't even attack us.
National security threats to the United States. Or I want to go down the line.
Okay, I just have to answer one thing that Senator Webb said about the Iran deal, because I'm a strong proponent of what President Obama, and he said that because of the Iran deal, that enabled Russia to come in. No, that's not true, Senator Webb. I respect your foreign policy
chops, but Russia is aligned with Iran and with Assad and the Alawite Shias in Syria. So that the Iran deal did not allow Russia
Senator,
to come
I gotta
in.
Give you 30 seconds to respond.
I believe that the signal that we sent to the region when the Iran nuclear deal was concluded was that we are accepting Iran's greater position in this very important balance of power among our greatest ally, Israel, and the Sunnis represented by the Saudi regime and Iran. It was a position of weakness, and I think it encouraged the action.
Did he say the Sunnis represented by Saudi?
30 seconds for each of you. Governor Chafee, what is the greatest national security threat to the United
States? Saudi Arabia is Wahhabi.
It's certainly the chaos in the Middle East. There's no doubt about it.
Okay.
And it all started with the Iraq invasion.
Governor Sunni Malik. is Iraq, as she is Iran, and Saudi Arabia is Wahhabi, right?
Yep. Right.
Makes cascading threats even worse.
I don't
Secretary
know.
Clinton, the greatest national security threat.
What do I know?
It has to be continually threat from the
it doesn't matter, right?
Weapons,
they all look the same.
Material that can fall into the wrong hands. I know the terrorists are constantly seeking it, and that's why we have to stay vigilant, but also united around the world to prevent that.
Senator Sanders, greatest national security
threat. The scientific community is telling us if we do not address the global crisis of climate change, transform our energy system away from fossil sustainable energy.
The greatest national security threat to the U.S.
And our grandchildren may well not be habitable.
That's the greatest security threat. It is the greatest security threat. The climate change lie is the greatest security threat to us.
Our greatest day-to-day threat is cyber warfare against this country. Our greatest military operational threat is resolving these situations in the Middle East.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Do these candidates...
Sounds like he would be supporting...
Yeah, let's talk about the missing nukes. How come we have missing nukes here and nobody seems to care or bat an eye about it? It just seems to be covered up by the press.
Waiting.
We're the only ones that covered it.
They're waiting on the drug cartels to get the tunnels built so they can bring ISIS in to take them, and then we blame them on something else.
Yeah. Mm. But that wall is going to stop
those things
all.
Didn't come from the Savannah River site.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, though, apart from, you know, the back and forth blaming, you made the wrong decision at this point in time, that point in time. Isn't it interesting how similar the Democrats are to the Republicans on all these foreign policy issues? You know, we just need to be stronger than the other guys. We need to kick butt everywhere. And, you know, we didn't win in that one little war over there. Not to ever say that, you know, we really shouldn't have gone there, except for what they're talking about with Iraq. They say, well, Iraq is a mistake.
Right.
You had a little bit of that discussion going back and forth in the Republican debates. But for the most part, they all accept the idea that we should be the world's policeman, that we should be the empire. So let's take a quick break here. We're going to be right back. While CNN is taking a break, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fused it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigyrex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfoWarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligrams, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News live coverage of the first of only 6 Democrat debates. I'm David Knight. With me are Leanne McAdoo and Joe Biggs. We're commenting on the debate as it happens. I think they're going into a different phase. We've just had a discussion in the first part of this about gun control, about foreign policy, where there's really very little difference between the Democrats and Republicans. What are they asking them here? I missed this question.
Really unfair not to look at the entire picture. This committee has spent $4.5 million of taxpayer money.
Oh, this is about her investigation.
So these are about hard choices.
Hard choices.
These are about hard choices.
So that something like Benghazi wouldn't happen again. There were already 7 committee reports about what to do. So I think it's pretty clear what their obvious goal is. But I'll be there. I'll answer their questions.
Well, you know, people have gone to jail. People have been fired. All kinds of consequences for doing far less than she did with secure emails. But, of course, she gets a pass.
Let's not worry about all the times I've lied. Let's get down to the fact that I need to be in the White House.
Let's not worry about how I skirted the law and funneled money into my slush fund.
And that is that the American people
This is not a hard choice.
Tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah, quite frankly, I am too. I think the Republicans need to put up or shut up. We know that they're not really going to ever do anything with this. We know that this is simply about scoring cheap political points. It's not about putting her in jail when she should be put in jail, or impeaching Obama, or putting Eric Holder in jail. They don't ever do that. They simply hold these show hearings to try to score political points, and everybody's onto them, and it's backfiring on them at this point.
Look, these two keep setting each other up, and then the other one knocks it out of the park. She wants to go for president. He's going for a high position in there. He knows he's not going to have a chance.
Yeah.
He's kissing butt right now. Every chance he can on Hillary right now.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. There we go.
Oh, there we go. That's the beginning of 2016. Down the drain.
Bernie and Hillary.
Wow.
Which one's the guy? Which one's the girl? That's what I don't understand. I think Bernie is more believable as a grandmother than Hillary is.
Right.
Bernary Clinton.
Bernary Clinton.
I know that plays well in this room, but I got to be honest, Governor Chafee, for the record, on the campaign trail, you've said a different thing. You said this is a huge issue standing here in front of Secretary Clinton. Are you willing to say that to her face?
Absolutely. We have to repair American credibility after we told the world that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, which he didn't. So there's an issue of American credibility out there. So anytime
you better watch out because I'm going to be standing right beside her with a shirt on one day.
Which the American president is, credibility is an issue out there with the world, and we have repair work to be done. I think we need someone that has the best in ethical standards as our next president. That's how I feel.
Secretary Clinton, do you want to respond?
That's not her.
Governor.
Can they just eat that
Governor
up?
O'Malley.
I know. Why are they clapping for her? Yeah. Why? Because she's not responding to the fact that he wants someone ethical in the office, and it's clearly not you.
Because she gets a free pass because she's part of a dynasty. That's the way it works, people. Don't you get it?
The Democratic Party is, and I quote, being defined by Hillary Clinton's email scandal. You heard her answer. Do you still feel that way tonight?
I believe that now that we're finally having debates, Anderson, that we don't have to be defined by the email scandal and how long what the FBI is asking about. Mm-hmm. Instead, we can talk about affordable.
We don't have to be defined by all my scandals
and all the issues, which is why. And I see the chair of the DNC here. Look how glad.
Wait till they give you that free college. See how free it is.
Yeah.
Free Common Core for all.
It's going to be so free, you're not going to be able to afford it. Yeah, you know when they talk about all this stuff, free college, they talk about single-payer system, what?
That you only give away what's crap for free.
Yeah. When they talk about single-payer, this is the way they use the semantics in the language. Single-payer means that single decision. One organization, one person at the top, the president's going to get to decide what you get and what you don't get. Every time you look at the solutions that the Democrats give you, they always involve less choice, unless it's about killing children.
Oh, it's Don. Don't push me, Lemon and Ferguson.
They say, do Black Lives Matter or do all lives matter?
So we got Don Lemon.
And the reason those words matter is the African American community knows that on any given day, some innocent person like Sandra Bland can get into a car, and then 3 days later, she's going to end up dead in jail. Or their kids are going to get shot.
So don't fix the drug war. Don't fix the corruption. Don't fix the mass incarceration. Don't fix the federalization of the police that's driving this. Instead, make it a racial issue. That's what they're trying to do here. That's the way they spend it.
Yeah, you're racist.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's not just black people who are getting shot. It's other people who are getting, every race is getting shot with this. And if black people are concerned about this, and they should be, and they're getting hit with as a higher percentage, wouldn't they want to make this a common problem for everybody instead of trying to pretend that it only affects black people? It doesn't.
Right.
It affects all of us. All of us are living in a place.
No, my white privilege stops tasers and makes bullets, bounce off of me.
I've seen a lot of white privileged people get hammered by the police for no reason at all, unfortunately.
The lives of black lives, people of color. When I ran for mayor...
You got something on the Twitter room? Somebody want to talk about this racism that they're selling everybody right now?
Well, I got this very thought-provoking tweet from Valhalla. It says, Alex, you should be blowing up the dim debate with fact-check articles about ISIS and U.S. support. Now, I'm going to call on the viewers. If you're on Twitter right now, go ahead and share our articles about ISIS and Syria and the whole proxy war there between NATO and Russia with using the hashtag dim debate. Let's have a real debate going on, not this softball scripted debate that CNN's pushing on us, because the establishment, they built the whole idea of this tyranny is built upon a mass grave of the truth. So if we are always going to try to rely on the mainstream media to give us the facts, we're never going to get the full story. Frankly, we're not going to get any facts at all.
That's absolutely right. And as we pointed out many, many times, this is something that is of our own doing. But they always like to portray this, whether it's a Democrat debate or whether it's a Republican debate. They always like to portray this as a blowback against somebody else's policies. And it's not. It's by design. We created the threat. We equipped the threat. We trained the people. We pour massive amounts of money to them. They are our surrogate army. We created ISIS. We created Al-Qaeda. That's the lie that's inherent in all of this.
Hold on. Hillary Clinton just said that President Obama is a great moral leader.
I thought that was the Pope.
On the issue of race.
On the issue of race.
Very good.
Yeah, there we go.
Very good at dividing the country.
She was talking about mass incarceration, the big problem of it. Well, under her husband, it didn't change. The mandatory minimums that started with Reagan were continued on by her husband. The drug war got bigger because he was shipping them in through Mena, Arkansas.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they won't talk about the drug war. You're exactly right, Rob, because they're running it. Okay, the Bushes ran the drug war. They worked with Noriega until he, I guess, didn't give them their cut or something. Or was some people say he was blackmailing them with pictures. But, you know. That's what they working got.
With the situation of African Americans. We're talking about criminal justice reform. I risked my political life raising the issue of criminal justice reform. When I ran for the Senate in Virginia in 06, I had Democratic Party political consultants telling me I was committing political suicide.
What does he mean by criminal justice reform? We led that issue in the Congress.
We started a national debate on it, and it wasn't until then that the Republican Party started joining in. I also represented
mandatory minimums. I don't think that's part of it.
African-American Marine
getting rid of civil asset forfeiture. I don't think that is
murder in Vietnam for 6 years. He took his life 3 years into this. I cleared his name after 3 years.
Thanks,
and
sir.
I put the African-American soldier on the mall. I made that recommendation and fought for it. So if you want someone who
whatever
is can stand up in front of you right now thank and you say, I have done the hard job, I have taken the risks, I am your person.
Senator Sanders, let's talk about income inequality.
Why? If you're going to talk about criminal justice reform, why don't you talk about making the government obey our due process? And that's not just the drug war. That's all the regulatory agencies who ignore our presumption of innocence.
Left office. We were losing 800.
Well, Hillary said we need to listen to Obama's UN agenda on policing. So.
Yeah.
On this issue. But the world's financial
that's what we're
crisis,
get good and hard.
World financial markets,
the global
was on the verge of collapse. That's where we were. Are we better off
nationalized
today than we were then?
Police
absolutely
force.
But the truth is that for the last 40
we've
years,
got bigger bubbles now. We're ready for more bubbles
disappearing. And in my view,
you
what
got the
we
accent,
need
Rob
to do is create millions of jobs.
That was actually Bernie Sanders.
Building our public infrastructure, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Yeah, that'll solve everything. Hey, why stop at 15? I want to be really rich. Let's make it $50 an hour. Then we'll all be rich.
I hate this whole argument of raising minimum wage.
What an idiot.
In this country tuition.
I see, the thing is, Republicans won't fight against it. They'll just say, no, don't go that high. And it's like, hey, just have the Federal Reserve print more money and we'll all be wealthy. That's the naivete of the American public, and they can get away with that time and time again. You don't make yourself rich by printing pieces of paper and giving everybody a raise. It just, everybody has to pay more for everything else. It's just that simple. We've been down this road before. Why should the government be telling us how much we can pay each other? That ought to be something that's decided voluntarily. And of course, if we didn't have a few corporations that had control, absolute control of the government in terms of regulations and everything else, establishing barriers for competition, then we would have a free market. That's what we don't have here. We haven't tried a free market in this country for a long time.
It hasn't been this bad since the 1920s. But if you look at the
they're not going to bring in open borders and talk about how we've exported jobs and imported workers. All the jobs have gone to foreign workers, both legal and illegal immigrants.
She just said the economy does better when you have a Democrat in the White House.
Oh, yeah.
She said, it hasn't been this bad since the 1920s. I know.
And I actually did them in our state.
Yes, she's around then, right?
But we need a Democrat to screw it up even further.
A penny increase for college tuition. But there's another piece that Senator Sanders left out tonight, but he's been excellent about underscoring that. And that is that we need to separate the casino, speculative, mega bank gambling
that
we have to ensure with our money from the commercial banking, namely reinstating Glass-Steagall. Secretary Clinton mentioned my support 8 years ago. And Secretary, I was proud to support you 8 years ago.
I wonder how many of these people voted for TARP.
And that is, Anderson, a Wall Street
bailout.
that wiped out millions of jobs and millions in savings for families.
It seems like O'Malley and Sanders just keep directing their to her, and they're just talking to her and praising what she's done.
Well, let's understand. They won't talk about Glass-Steagall. Let's understand where the banking consolidation started. It started with her husband. It started when they approved the Bank of America and Nations Bank merger.
Larry Summers.
Yeah.
He did it. He was a Clintonite.
That's right. It was under Clinton that they started these mega mergers. It was under Clinton that they got a few mega banks that were too big to fail. It was under Clinton that that happened. And it was under a Democrat regime, under Obama's regime, that the Attorney General said the big banks are too big to jail, essentially. We don't want to put anybody in jail. We don't want to give them too large of fines. We don't want to revoke their license to operate here in the United States, because that wouldn't be in our best interest.
And then he went back to work for them.
Yes.
Oh, imagine exactly. That.
They even kept his office, didn't they, Rob? They kept an office reserved for Eric Holder.
He was ready to come back. Welcome back. Thanks for not doing anything.
The revolving door.
Yeah.
That's where the experts tell me the next potential.
And it's so disgusting to see these people who created the mega banks, who enabled all of this, who voted for the TARP. It's disgusting to see them grandstand over all this as the American people were robbed. Robbed. Biggest bank robbery ever in history.
If we thought they posed a risk. But I want to make sure we're going to cover everybody, not what caused the problem last time, but what could cause it next
Senator
time.
Senator Sanders, Secretary Clinton just said that her policy is tougher than yours.
They won't talk about the Federal Reserve, you notice. They won't talk about that.
Why?
Let us be clear that the greed and recklessness and illegal behavior of Wall Street, where fraud is a business model, helped to destroy this economy and the lives of millions of people.
It also helped to make Clinton really, really rich.
Yes. Talk to her about cattle futures. You want to talk about Wall Street and investment bankers? Talk to her about cattle futures.
Spending billions of dollars in lobbying.
Congress that exempt themselves from.
When Alan Greenspan said, what a great idea.
Any tip-offs.
That's right. Congress can involve in insider trading. Hillary Clinton can make a fortune in a single trade because they manipulate that trade in cattle futures and nothing happens to her. That's what's wrong with capitalism. It's not capitalism, it's corruption. That's what it is. It's not casino capitalism. It's not even, it's crony capitalism.
Secretary Clinton, you have to be able to respond.
Brought
you up. You know, I respect the passion and intensity. I represented Wall Street as a senator from New York, and I went to Wall Street in December of 2007, before the big crash that we had, and I basically said, cut it out. Quit foreclosing on homes.
If you don't stop doing that, I'm not going to take money from you, Goldman Sachs.
Cut it out, guys.
I'm going to refuse to take that money if you don't stop this.
I have thought deeply and long about what we're going to do.
Oh, look at CNN money.
Exactly what I think both the senator and the governor want.
That's bad, okay? Now.
Cut it out.
And my you guys just stop it now, eh?
Have the potential of actually sending the executives to jail. Nobody went to jail after $100 billion.
You want to talk about someone going to jail, woman?
And
I know.
Nobody went to jail in the Obama administration that you're part of, even when they were laundering money for drug cartels. They gave them their own private window at the Sinaloa cartel, El Chapo. They gave him his own private window. Nobody went to jail. Go ahead, Kit. You got something?
Yeah, I got a really sarcastic tweet from Barney about white privilege. And he writes, yeah, because I was born white. I was born with $1 million and a silver spoon with legal immunity.
Yeah.
Now, Democrats are always pushing this whole race war rhetoric, even though Democrats are actually historically tied to the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
But, you know, the real conflict is between the state and the individual. I mean, the individual is the smallest minority, and the individual is the one that's always constantly being oppressed by the state. But the Democrats, as long as other authoritarians, they're always going to push this whole race war rhetoric to try to reflect that fact. So people don't realize that the true oppressor is the state.
Absolutely. As we pointed out earlier, everything that they come up with is about removing our choice, unless it's about your choice to kill your child. But when they talk about health care, they want the single payer to make the single decision.
Now 65% of our GDP. And right before this debate, Secretary Clinton's campaign put out a lot of reversals on positions on Keystone and many other things. But one of them that we still have a great difference on, Madam Secretary, is that you are not for Glass-Steagall. You are not for putting a firewall between this speculative, risky shadow banking behavior. I am. And the people of our country need a president who's on their side, willing to protect the Main Street economy from recklessness on Wall
Wall Street.
Now, are you ready to arm wrestle me or what?
I have to let you respond. Well, I love how she just is so flippant, like, I know I've flip-flopped on everything, but...
Here's an article from CNN. Wall Street has made Hillary Clinton a millionaire.
Oh, now she's like, everyone's guilty of flip-flopping. Let me point out how bad everyone else is.
You're going to change your position.
Deflect.
I never took a position on Keystone until I took a position on Keystone. But I have been on the forefront of dealing with climate
took
change.
A position.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's kind of like they call me Jeb and I earned that. Not a
exactly.
The first international
here's the situation with Keystone, folks. Obama and the Obama administration, the only people supporting Keystone was Hillary Clinton and her State Department. They were supporting the Keystone Pipeline. And what the Keystone Pipeline is doing is it's a prime example of multinational vulture capitalism. You've got TransCanada using eminent domain to take the farms of people who have had that in their family for over 100 years. We let a foreign multinational corporation seize property using the government, eminent domain. So we got both front runners in the Republican and the Democrat primaries here, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, supporting eminent domain for big business, even foreign big business, because big corporations have better property rights than you do. If you're little, you don't really have the same property rights as a big corporation because of government. That's the problem. And that's why all this stuff about socialism is so phony, because it just enables that kind of theft by the government.
The middle class to bail out Wall Street. And by the way, I want Wall Street now to help kids in this country go to college, public colleges and universities, free.
There you go. There you go. There's socialism for you.
In a minute, but Senator Webb, I want to get you, and you have said neither party has the guts to take on Wall Street. Is the system rigged?
There is a reality that I think we all need to recognize with respect to the power of the financial sector. And let me just go back a minute and say that on this TARP program, I introduced a piece of legislation calling for a windfall profits tax on the executives of any of these companies that got more than $5 billion, that it was time for them.
Wait a minute. Why should they get the money in the first place? Don't give them the money and then give them a windfall profits tax. And you're only going to be taking a percentage of the money. They shouldn't have been given the money in the first place. That was an incredible theft. It was a bank robbery. But they won't talk about the Federal Reserve. They all want to hold up Wall Street as this pinata that they beat, but they won't talk about the Federal Reserve. Bernie Sanders says get money out of politics, get the Federal Reserve out of money. That's what they need to do.
Set a mark here so maybe we can get into a little more later on. This hasn't been equal time. But if you want to look at what's happened, if we look at the facts in terms of how we're going to deal with this, since that crash, in the last 10 years, the amount of the world's capital economy that Wall Street manages has gone from 44% to 55%. That means the Wall Street money managers are not risking themselves as the same way the American people are when they're going to get their compensation. They're managing money from all over the world.
Thank you.
We have to take that into consideration when we're looking at ways to regulate it.
Governor Chafee, you've attacked Secretary Clinton for being too close to Wall Street banks. In 1999, you voted for the very bill that made banks bigger.
The Glass-Steagall was my very first vote. I just arrived. My dad had died in office. I was appointed to the office. It was my very first vote.
Are you saying you didn't know what you were voting for?
I just arrived the Senate.
Oh, you didn't know what you were voting for?
I didn't know what I was doing.
None of them read the bills. They have to pass them to find out what's in it.
Well, I was drunk at the time I voted for that bill.
Yeah.
You know? My dad had just died, and I didn't know what I was doing.
There's a cockroach on the ground.
I just arrived. I've been mayor of my city.
All right, we're good. We got it.
Appointed by the governor.
Our choices.
There's the cockroach.
90-5.
It's still there. It's still alive.
So let me just say about income inequality. We've had a lot of talk over the last few minutes, hours, or tens of minutes, but no one's saying how we're going to fix it. And it all starts with the tax cuts that favor the wealthy.
That's not a hard choice.
Tax code. And 0.6% of Americans are at the top echelon.
That's sexist.
Over 464,000.
That's awesome.
That was pretty sexist.
Well, they generate.
I got to say that Lincoln Chaffee is one of the weakest presidential candidates I've ever seen in my life.
A lot more this money guy to be had is from really this pathetic.
I know he had less than 1%. I guess they just had to
back into the tax bracket, and that'll generate 40.
Make it a little bit more exciting.
I don't know. I think it's to make Hillary look good.
They're all just like, thanks, Lincoln.
How did he ever get elected to anything? I don't know.
Pressing issues.
Hey, speaking of making Hillary look good, did you know CBS just launched a new television series called Madam Secretary? And it's based on the life of Hillary Clinton.
There you go. There you go.
Last week, Madeleine Albright she had a guest appearance on the show. And they reenacted a Benghazi-like scenario where the Madam Secretary behaved like a true hero.
Well, they did just repeal the Fifth Month Act so they can propagate to the American people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Propaganda, yeah.
I'm surprised CNN didn't do like a color correction on Hillary to make her look darker.
You know, Darren, what they might have done is they might have reenacted with Madeleine Albright that thing where she said it was worth starving 500,000 children.
Well, that's what they should have done.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that. And, of course, you're talking about CBS. NBC had her on Saturday Night Live, and then they did these fluff things with her on the following Monday, asking her what her favorite book and her favorite drink were. They had her on Saturday Night Live singing with a bartender trying to humanize her because everybody knows that she's a flip-flopping robot who's totally corrupt.
And then there's no doubt she wants you to live in the land of make-believe. I mean, and she was just talking about Vladimir Putin. She compared him to the fictional character that was on House of Cards, the Russian president. She says that's what he's really like.
Yeah.
And she's really like the wife of, so I can't remember, but the lady that'll do anything to get power.
The stepford wife.
Yes.
A true robot.
Fine. I look past all of your affairs and indiscretions. It's all about power.
That's right.
Don't vote for Monica's boyfriend's wife.
Currently have student debt will be able to refinance their debt to a low interest rate. That will save thousands of dollars for people who are now struggling under this cumbersome, burdensome college debt.
Let's just understand that everything that the government has done to try to help people with college has done nothing but raise the cost of tuition. It's just like we see with insurance. We recently had a situation where a member of the family had to go get some tests. And it was interesting that the amount that we paid as a cash patient, because that's the kind of insurance that we have with one of the Medishare organizations, the amount that we paid as a cash patient was what our deductible would have been. They would have charged us, I think it was six times what that amount was if we'd had insurance, and then our deductible would have essentially been what we paid as cash patients. We've seen that with the LA Times, and that's precisely what's happening with the college education. College tuition has exploded since I was in college. I didn't need to have the federal government for me to go to college. It was affordable at the time. But now, because of the federal government aid, they've made it unaffordable because it's been a gravy train for the universities. They have absolutely no reason to control costs. They have every reason to raise the cost of tuition, just like the insurance companies have every reason to raise the price of insurance.
David, when we went in to have our daughter, we paid right up front, put it on a credit card, and it was a little over $5,000. If we had made payments, it was $15,000. And if we had gone through insurance, $25,000.
Exactly. That's what we saw as well.
Yeah.
And so that's the scam, Rob. That's the scam.
And it made us watch what was going on. We didn't let just people walk into the room and say, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Wait, are you included in what we just paid? And they're like, no, we're a special contract.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
They have better control over what's happening.
They pick up the chart, they look at it, sign their name, and then send you a bill.
They can look at your kid and say, you didn't build that, we did that.
Yeah.
You're in debt forever trying to pay your kid off.
The so-called chain CPI, I founded a caucus called the Defending Social Security Caucus. My view is that when you have millions of seniors in this country trying to get by, and I don't know how they do, on $11,000, $12,000, $13,000 a year. You don't cut Social Security, you expand it. And the way you expand it is by lifting the cap on taxable incomes so that you do away with the absurdity of a millionaire paying the same amount.
I need your money, folks.
Give it to me. Has always been a lie. It was done first by the Germans. Bismarck did it. He picked the age of 65 because that was a life expectancy. They never expected to pay anybody anything. It's always been a lie to say they're there for you, and that's precisely what it is. It's still a lie.
Immigrants of any state in the country as of last year,
Carlos. And then they're going to privatize it and let Wall Street play with Social Security, which is even worse. And then they'll go, oh, we lost the money. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. If they privatize it, you're right, Rob. If they privatize it, they're going to require that we can only put our retirement savings into Wall Street. We can't use it to buy land, for example, or hard assets of any sort. It'll have to be paper investments
or a business that you could work later.
Exactly. Or a business. No, they're not going to let you do that. No.
Yes, work or provisions in it, which the Southern Poverty Law Center talked about being semi-slavery. Guest workers are coming in. They're working under terrible conditions. But if they stand up for their rights, they're thrown out of the country. I was not the only progressive to vote against that legislation for that reason. Tom Harkin, a very good friend of Hillary Clinton's and mine, one of the leading labor advocates, also voted against that.
This is the total dog and pony show. I mean, this is ridiculous. Let's just make Hillary look good over and over.
Right now, and always has been, is that when you have 11 million undocumented people in this country, we need comprehensive immigration reform. We need a path toward citizenship. We need to take people out of the shadows.
Why do we need to give citizenship to people who come here illegally? I don't understand that obligation. See, that's the problem solution that they always put out there.
That's because you're a racist, David. That's why you don't understand.
Think about the migrants that are suing Germany now because they didn't receive their welfare check fast enough. It took them longer than a week to give them their welfare check, so they're suing them.
Yeah, no entitlement.
She wants to make sure that all children get health care. First, you have to be able to survive birth.
Immigrants
to be able to buy in to the baby steps. It's baby steps, kind of. I think unless they take your legs off and sell them, but maybe you could just
step in them
so that they would get the same subsidies. I think that is it raises so
you
many
want
issues.
To open Obamacare to undocumented immigrants. So, in other words, can anybody in the world that wishes come here to America and live off of the socialist entitlement state? And where does this all end? How do we afford this? Well, of course we don't. They're going to have to take everything from those of us who are here in America. They're going to level us all to a third world poverty level. And that's the way you do that. And that's what this is designed for. The open borders, the trans-Pacific, transatlantic partnerships, all of that is about destroying Western economies, leveling everybody to a third world level so that the elite can then have, through their concentration of wealth, this is all about increasing the 1%. They were complaining about at the very beginning.
Right.
The 1% of the 1% of the 1%.
Right, those are her biggest donors.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Knock them down.
After watching this debate, I identify as angry.
Well, you know, quite frankly, I don't understand how working Americans can accept the fact that they're going to have these people open the borders and give away their jobs, give away their income, give away their accumulated wealth because they're going to open up this vast, they want a larger entitlement state and they want to make it available to anyone who wishes to come here without any control or leveling whatsoever. I mean, no way to control any of this. It's a Cloward and Piven. They strategize about this. This is what the socialist economists wanted to do. We've talked about this many times, and that's what these people are doing.
System in place. No country is a country without defining its borders. We need to resolve this issue. I actually introduced an amendment in the 07 immigration bill giving a pathway to citizenship to those people who had come here and put down their roots and met a series of standards. We lost, but I introduced that in 07. So we need a comprehensive reform, and we need to be able to define our borders.
Secretary Clinton? I want to follow up, because I think underneath Juan Carlos's important questions, there is such a difference between everything you're hearing here on this stage and what we hear from the Republicans who have demonized hardworking immigrants, who have insulted them. You know, I came to Las Vegas.
How dare they ask how we're going to pay for this?
Met with a group of dreamers. Yeah. I wish everybody in America could meet with these young people to hear their stories.
Oh, there was a girl in California who met with a dreamer, right? Didn't she get killed?
Yeah.
From a gun from an ATF agent? Dreaming.
As Alex has pointed out many times, you cannot go to the countries that these people are coming from and just throw yourself on the mercies of the welfare state or make demands on the welfare state. Virtually every country, even countries like Belize, you have to demonstrate that you have the means to support yourself. Many countries don't allow you to participate in the entitlement program until you've been there a very long time. Why should we be different? Why should we allow anyone who wishes to come here to bring themselves in, essentially move into our house and demand that we feed and clothe them and educate them in the language that they choose. And we just are not going to be able to do that. They're going to wind up, first of all, taking our homes because that's how we pay for schools is through property taxes. No one's going to be able to afford the property taxes to educate all the children of the world that their parents wish to send here to be educated in the language of their choice, not even in English. They do not wish to be a part of this culture. They do not share our values of individual liberty or anything else.
David, right now you're not sounding PC.
No. When you go to Switzerland, you have to get people to recommend you have to live there for a number of years. You have to be able to support yourself. You have to have Swiss citizens say, yes, he agrees with the values that we, the Swiss people, hold as important. That's a prerequisite. Let's go to Kit. Kit, do you have anything on Twitter?
Yes, I got a tweet a user sent to Donald Trump. It says, this is one of the most dysfunctional debates I've seen in my lifetime. Now, it's a really insightful tweet because this whole debate shows us that Hillary Clinton was always the shoo-in candidate. I mean, the DNC even waited until October to even have a debate, and that's extremely unprecedented for a presidential election. And, you know, it's obvious that they expected Hillary to be the candidate, but because of the email gate and all the stuff going on with all her baggage that's come to light, that she's no longer the case. You know, she's no longer the shoo-in candidate. So that's part of the reason why this whole debate just feels this real dysfunction about it, because it wasn't really meant to be a debate at all. It was meant to be a way to show the gloss and polish Hillary for the upcoming head-on with a Republican candidate. But, you know, we've already seen the cracks with Hillary. I mean, Hillary's like a rusted-out car you see at a car show that someone put a new fresh coat of paint on, but you see the rust bubbling through.
Yeah, you know, I think, too, when we look at Joe Biden, who is waiting this out and waiting to come in, I do believe that there's something of a split in the Democrat establishment. Certainly we have the people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's on Hillary Clinton's side that runs the DNC. But there's a lot of people who don't like Hillary Clinton because she's got some pretty sharp elbows. And I think they're waiting to see what's going to happen with Joe Biden. But, you know, clearly this is not much of a debate. This is more of a Hillary Clinton love fest, as you point out.
Here they're talking about the NSA surveillance and
reforming Section 215 of the Patriot
Act. Secretary Clinton, do you regret your vote on the Patriot Act?
No, I don't. I think it was necessary to make sure that we were able, after 9/11, to put in place the security that we needed. And it is true that it did require that there be a process. What happened, however, is that the Bush administration began to chip away at that process, and I began to speak out about.
But you can trust me to do everything.
Obama took a hammer to it,
and the other behavior that they engage in. We always have to keep the balance.
Do you think she'll criticize Obama for doing three times the number of people, journalists and whistleblowers, on the 1917 Espionage Act that all the previous presidents combined went after?
No.
Let me ask you, if elected, would you shut down the NSA surveillance program?
I'm sorry?
Would you shut down the NSA surveillance
program?
Absolutely,
of course.
You would?
Good.
Point blank.
Good.
Well, I would shut down, I'd shut down what exists right now is that virtually every telephone call in this country ends up in a file at the NSA. That is unacceptable to me. But it's not just government surveillance. I think the government is involved in our emails, is involved in our websites. Corporate America is doing it as well. If we are a free country, we have the right to be free. Yes, we have to defend ourselves.
But not the right to our own money.
Do that without impinging on our constitutional rights and our privacy
Anderson,
rights.
Anderson, the NSA.
He complains about corporate espionage and corporate surveillance, but that's a part of the government surveillance because they use information sharing. They maintain that if the corporation collects that information on you, if Google and Facebook collect that information, they can then share it with the government because they maintain that Google owns that information about you. You don't own your own information. They own it. And that's what CISPA is about. They ought to ask them a question about whether they support CISPA or CISA.
Could have gotten all of the protections of being a whistleblower. He could have raised.
Oh, he could have. Right. Obama is so respectful of that.
Yeah, we see what happens to whistleblowers under your administration.
Should he do jail time?
In addition, He stole.
Oh, there would have been a positive response to Snowden.
That has unfortunately fallen into a lot of the wrong hands.
Governor O'Malley,
we saw send emails.
Right.
Important classified.
That's what she's talking about. That information has fallen into the wrong hands.
Snowden saw how they treated the NSA whistleblowers who went through proper channels. He saw that they criminally charged Drake on that, and that's why he said he fled, because he knows that they come after the whistleblower, not the person who breaks the law.
Snowden played a very important role in educating the American people to the degree in which our civil liberties and our constitutional rights are being undermined.
Is he a hero?
He did break the law, and I think there should be a penalty to that. But I think what he did in educating us should be taken into consideration before he is
Senator Webb?
What about the people of the NSA that broke the law? What about the people of the NSA that violated their oath to the Constitution? Should there be any penalty for them? For Hillary Clinton.
We have a serious problem in terms of the collection of personal information in this country. And one of the things that I did during the FISA bill in 2007, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, was introduced.
He should be against all this, because that's how they kind of end up finding out that she was sending that stuff anyways.
Right.
To collect this broad information in the internet age. But after a certain period of time, you need to destroy the personal information that you have.
Oh, she's nodding yes. Is she going to shut down the NSA collection center where they store all this stuff out in Bluffdale, Utah?
Yeah, Snapchat's going to take over.
Of information that is ripe for people with bad intentions.
Well, that's how they're going to fight ISIS.
With Snapchat, too.
Question for each of you.
Pretty much Snapchat's going to take over everything.
The one way that your administration would not be a third term of President Obama.
Certainly ending the wars. We've got to stop these wars. We have to have a new dynamic, a new paradigm. We're just spent $500 million arming and training soldiers, the rebel soldiers in Syria. They quickly joined the other side.
President Obama's generals right now are suggesting keeping troops in Afghanistan after the time he wanted them pulled out.
Defected ISIS.
And also, we just bombed a hospital. Drone strikes that hit civilian weddings.
Hey, guys, we got exclusive footage of a pre-party that was going on right before they went on for the debate. So we're just going to roll a little bit of that while they're talking.
Okay, you've got a pre-party. Here we go. Pre-party footage.
To protect the Main Street economy from recklessness.
That, unfortunately, is the Constitution. They're getting ready to pick it dry.
A power. The Dark Crystal taught me everything I needed to know about how the world operates.
Up until this point,
that was when I woke up.
Is there a policy difference?
That's the most amazing thing right there. How would your presidency be different? Well, I'm a woman, and he's black. There you go. That's the difference between me and Obama. Yeah, there we go.
Here's how it's different. Look, we got a still shot of Hillary just now.
She said, I'm a woman and I'm black.
No, she didn't say he's black. She says, I'm a woman. You know, but it's all about identity politics. That's her qualification for being president. It's her turn. She's a Clinton. She's a woman. So we should vote for her. That's why she's entitled to be president.
Yeah. Well, she said she didn't want her being, you know, that to be the reason why people vote for her. It's one of the reasons why she stands out. She's a woman.
We want to vote for her because she's honest.
Yeah.
She's hardworking, and she's just like you and me. She knows exactly what it's like to be an American and to put my own shoes on and drive a car and to go do things.
She hasn't driven a car in like 20-something years.
Yeah.
So.
Not just a handful of billionaires.
Senator Webb, how would he not be a third term for Obama?
I got a great deal of admiration and affection for Senator Sanders, but Bernie, I don't think the revolution's going to come, and I don't think the Congress is going to pay for a lot of this stuff. And if there would be a major difference between my administration and the Obama administration, it would be in the use of executive authority. I came up as a committee counsel in the Congress, used to put dozens of bills through the House floor every year as a committee counsel in the Veterans Committee. I have a very strong feeling about how our federal system works and how we need to lead and energize the congressional process instead of allowing these divisions to continue to paralyze what we're doing. So I would lead working with
both parties in the Congress and working through them in the traditional way that our Constitution
Senator Sanders, he cited you. You don't hear a lot of Democratic presidential candidates talking about revolution. What do you mean?
What I mean is that we need to have one of the larger voter turnouts in the world, not one of the lowest. We need to raise public consciousness. We need the American people to know what's going on in Washington in a way that today they do not know. And when people come together...
By design, because they watch CNN.
Now ...and are prepared to take on the big money interest, then we can...
I think there's some kind of, like, underlying hypnotism going on. He keeps moving his hands, and I keep, like, wanting to fall asleep.
Well, they've completely managed to avoid the one issue that I had hoped that they might talk about, and that is the Trans-Pacific Partnership as so-called partnership. This secret corporate trade agreement. These people pontificate about Wall Street and big capitalism, and yet they give this a pass, and they don't even talk about it. As you point out, he threw out all the different positions that Hillary had flip-flopped.
Unfortunately, David, we are out of time now. We don't have any time to talk about these issues. Go ahead.
Well, we'll continue to talk about those issues. Are we gonna wrap it up at
this
point?
They're gonna talk about how the candidates have some marijuana.
Okay, we're going till 10. So we're going to still be here for a while, but we're going to take a quick break as CNN takes a quick break, and we're going to be right back. So stay with us. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment.
I might as well just...
Show your disapproval for Hillary Clinton. Get your Hillary for Prison 2016 t-shirt today at the InfoWars store. Hurry up, because these things are selling out faster than Hillary Clinton.
This is an American president. Just add puppet, then vote and repeat every 4 years.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
I'm running for president. Everyday Americans need a champion, and I want to be that champion. I'm hitting the road to earn your vote, and I hope you'll join me on this journey.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News coverage of the live Democrat debate, the first of six debates only. This is the CNN debate. They took a brief commercial, and they're coming back, they say, to talk about climate change and marijuana. I guess maybe now marijuana is the source of climate change. I don't know. Let's go to see what they're saying right now.
Fighting for kids, for women, for families. Fighting to even the odds.
She's not a political insider. She's an outsider because she's a woman.
I know how to find common ground.
She's doing it for the kids and for women.
And I think
not for men, though.
Both of those in Washington.
Yeah. Understand, it's not for men.
Just as race has been divided, families, husbands, wives, men, women will be divided.
Men don't have any place in the Hillary America. She's fighting for women and children.
Experience of a lifetime to bring together to offer the American people.
Governor O'Malley, do you want to tell Secretary Clinton why she shouldn't get the crown?
Well, actually,
it is a coronation.
We had this conversation, and I will share with you that I've traveled all around the country, Anderson, and there's two phrases I keep hearing again and again and again.
Hillary for president.
Phrases: new leadership and getting things done. We cannot be this dissatisfied. With our gridlock,
I think looking at these different candidates, it's quite clear that if there's going to be anybody besides Hillary, it's going to have to be somebody like Biden. You know,
I think it's funny because I've been all over the country the past few months, and the phrase that I've been hearing is Hillary for president.
And her husband have done for our country, but our country needs new leadership to move forward.
Secretary Clinton, you have to be able to respond if you want.
And you can also go to the InfoWars store and pick up your Hillary for President 2016 t-shirt. And on the back it says legalize freedom.
Look at what I accomplished.
That's the phrase. The pays.
Secretary of State. And then draw your own conclusion. I certainly am not campaigning to become president because my last name is Clinton. I'm campaigning because I think I have the right combination of what the country needs at this point. And I think I can take the fight to the Republicans because we cannot afford
These men on either side of me are window dressing. Pay no attention to them or anything they have to say. I got all the super delegates.
Yeah. Especially because they're men.
All over this country with establishment politics. I am the only candidate running for president who is not a billionaire, who has raised substantial sums of money, and I do not have a super PAC. I am not raising money from millionaires and billionaires.
I have a socialist PAC.
...4,000 house parties, 100,000 people in this country watching this debate tonight who want real change in this country.
4,000 house parties.
We got about climate change. I want to go to Don Lemon. Don?
All right, this one is from Martin O'Malley Anderson. Governor O'Malley, this is from Anna Bettis from Tempe, Arizona. Here it is.
As a young person, I'm very concerned about climate change and how it will affect my future. As presidential candidate, what will you do to address climate change?
Wow, these random questions from
Facebook
are just so random.
We're going to kill you so quickly you won't even exhale any carbon dioxide, you idiot.
And I'm the only candidate, I believe.
That will affect my future.
That's really what's going to happen. People don't realize. There's too many breathers out there.
How will you keep the sky from falling?
Within all of the above strategy. It was
how did the environment last all these
and we solved it as a nation
centuries
and our
without
nation
you
solved this one. So I put forward the plan that would extend the investor tax credits for solar and for wind. If you go across Iowa, you see that 30% of their energy now comes from wind. We're here in Las Vegas, one of the most sustainable cities in America, doing important things in terms of green.
Did he say Las Vegas? Is it, with all the water they have, right?
Yeah.
Very sustainable.
But it's going to require presidential
It looks like Mars.
And as president, I intend to sign as my very first order in office.
Where are they shipping their water in from?
As a nation and dedicate
one of our camera guys, Travis, just said you could power the earth on the hot air these guys are expelling right now.
Governor O'Malley, thank you very much. Senator Webb, you have a very different view than just about anybody else on the stage, and unlike
Clinton,
a lot of Democrats, you're pro-coal, pro-offshore drilling, you're pro-Keystone Pipeline. The question is, are you out of step with the Democratic Party?
Well, the question really is...
Are you in step with reality and out of step with the Democrats?
Energy problems and in the global environment, if you really want to address climate change. When I was in the Senate, I was an all-of-the-above energy voter. We introduced legislation to bring in alternate energy as well as nuclear power. I'm a strong proponent of nuclear power.
None of their legislation will be for like personalized solar or personalized wind, which could work on a level. You know, if you were able to free that up for people. It's all about making it go back into the grid. It's all about controlling it. It's all about tying into the grid. They don't want any self-sufficiency. They go after people in Florida who try to come off the grid. They're like, nope, you can't do it. We're going to put you in jail.
Exactly.
It's not about individuality.
That's right.
And self-sustainability.
Right. Well, it's like all of these policies, Rob, you know, they don't want the individuals to have power. They don't want the individuals to have choice. Every one of these things that they put forward removes your choices, makes life here for you more expensive, takes away opportunity. And that's precisely what we're looking at. In terms of the war on coal, we've mentioned this many times. You can get zero emission coal plants if you want, if you're that concerned about carbon dioxide. We know that plants breathe in carbon dioxide. They haven't, even though carbon dioxide, they've measured going up, they've seen the temperature going down. So, the science has not settled on this.
Well,
oh, here we go. Pope Francis.
The
there
EPA
we go.
Said that sunlight is bad for plants.
Yeah.
So the science is settled.
Carbon. And let me also
It's not what plants crave.
It's not.
So he's citing Pope Francis because you've got to understand that global warming is fundamentally a religion. It's a religion. Everything that you do, you have to pay an indulgence tax to some billionaire. He's not for billionaires. Come on, he's pushing global carbon taxes so he can get people like Al Gore wealthy. That's what the Pope, that's what Bernie Sanders is pushing now with this.
The billionaires who run the carbon trading system. That's who we're going to give this money to.
They're
the billionaires who run that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I were hunting for the Chinese, going throughout this huge convention center because we knew we had to get them to agree to something because there will be no effective efforts against climate change unless China
and that's what's so dangerous
India
this time around. They have now
the
gotten an agreement. Who knows how they're going to enforce it with the Chinese. But now the Chinese have said, yes, unlike the last time, we're going to say that we're going to do something to cap emissions. And so that's what they're going to use to try to push through global taxation, cap and tax legislation here in America. They're going to say, well, the Chinese are on board. Because last time it was pretty obvious when they want to talk about global warming and they don't have the Chinese making any sacrifices whatsoever. But they also play the kind of games the Chinese will pledge to something that is 10, 15 years down the road. They'll have a small decrease, whereas we're going to get hit with massive cuts. It's not going to be equal treatment, even though they're the ones who are putting out the dirtiest power and the most massive quantities.
Carly Fiorina, the first.
Kid, you got something on Twitter?
Yes, I got this slightly inappropriate tweet from Philip. It says, Bernie Sanders should just have a sex change and get a room with Hillary Clinton. Now, here's the thing. Recently, Hillary Clinton was lecturing Donald Trump on how he should have more respect for women. But remember, it was Hillary who was the one that was covering up her husband's sex crimes while he was in office.
Yes.
So if anyone really needs to learn how to have more respect for women, it needs to be Hillary.
As Kathleen Woolley said, Hillary Clinton is the war on women. She has enabled and helped her husband because it's all about power.
Yeah, and David, here's the scary thing to me is that Matt Drudge last week, he said that, you know, why is anyone asking about Hillary's lovers? And to me, that's scary because it's like, if she can cover that up, what else is she covering up that we don't know about? I mean, we already know about the secret email server and this and that, but it's what we don't know about that's very concerning. And it should be to any American, not just me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Incredible challenges that so many parents face particularly working moms. I see my good friend, Senator Gillibrand, in the front row. She's been a champion of this. We need to get a consensus through this campaign, which is why I'm talking about it.
Say again, it's another mandate. And, you know, there's a lot of companies that will offer paid maternity leave. That's one of the things that you negotiate. What we need to figure out is how we have jobs in this country. Because we're exporting the jobs and we're importing the workers, and all the jobs have been created numerically since 2008 have gone to foreign workers. Maybe they should have that discussion when they talk about open borders, but they won't.
Sympathizers who say you can't have paid leave, you can't provide health care. They don't mind having big government to interfere with a woman's right to choose and to try to take down Planned Parenthood. They're fine with big government when it comes to that.
That's the only choice that Hillary wants you to have. Everything else is mandated in her world except the death of your children. If you choose to kill your children, hey, government should butt out of that, shouldn't they?
Big government this, big government that, except for what they want to impose on the American people. I know.
I am so sick of people.
They're not like that at all.
I am so sick of the Hillary Clintons and the radical feminists who say that they're pro-choice and they deny every choice in your life except aborting a child.
Including some small countries.
What hypocrites.
Say that when a mother has
they don't want you to even have a choice as to whether or not to vaccinate your children. How your children are going to be educated. Nothing. No choice about anything other than an abortion.
Family, paid family and medical leave. Second of all, the secretary is right. Republicans tell us we can't do anything except give tax breaks to billionaires and cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. That's not what the American people want.
Governor O'Malley?
Yes. American people want dead babies
in our state,
in a glass.
Expanded family leave, and I have to agree with Secretary Clinton and Senator Sanders. Look, the genius of our nation is that we find ways in every generation to include more of our people more fully in the economic life of our country. And we need to do that for our families, especially to, so that women aren't penalized and having to drop out of the workforce.
You have to understand that every time they do these kinds of business regulations, what they're doing is they're sawing off the lower rungs of the ladder for anybody who wants to start their own business. You want to start your own business? Well, you're going to have paid maternity leave. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. That's all fine. That's well and good. But the way that you want to grow in your future is not necessarily by being a lifetime employee. You want to be able to have the opportunity to start your own business. And these kinds of regulations, even though they may sound good, are essentially cutting off the ladder of opportunity for people. That's why big business really does support this. Large companies don't have any problem paying these kinds of regulations, just as when you looked at the regulation that was put through by the two Democrats who retired, Dodd-Frank. The regulations that they put through on financial issues on buying a home. Those are things that large banks have no problem going through, but other smaller banks are being put out of business. They're talking about marijuana. Let's go back to that.
Young people who are smoking marijuana. I think we have to think through this war on drugs, which has done an enormous amount of damage. We need to rethink our criminal justice system, and we've got a lot of work to do in that area.
On Carla.
Secretary Clinton, you told Christiana Manpour you didn't...
Hey, David?
Yeah.
I got a tweet here from Dave that says, the debate proves that we are doomed if any of these clowns win the election. And I tend to agree with that because Bernie Sanders, the so-called sweetheart, the underdog of this debate, I don't care what solutions he's trying to push on us because he's not talking about the Federal Reserve System.
No.
The only way that America is ever going to regain its prosperity is if we get rid of the Federal Reserve and we kind of push away from this fiat currency system that we have. I mean, we're not even manufacturing anything anymore. I mean, none of the Democrats are even talking about that. The only way that we can, that we've sustained this trade deficit for so long is the fact that there's so much demand for the dollar. But as long as the manufacturing sector in the United States declines, no one's going to want the dollar anymore. And we see China and Russia that's always already pushing away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here's what I would say, Kit. I would say that if we pin our hopes on who is going to win the presidency, that we truly are doomed. There's not anybody in either one of these parties that's going to be able to save us. We need to understand what's happening nationally. We need to understand what's happening globally, but we need to not let a preoccupation with these presidential races, which are nothing but a distraction, keep us from doing things at the local level. We need to call out these people and say, look, you don't have any authority to prohibit marijuana. We don't even have this discussion. Where's the amendment to prohibit marijuana? We had an amendment to prohibit alcohol. Why? Because they have no authority under the Constitution. There's nothing in there that gives them authority to prohibit anything. Cancer drugs, medical treatment, nothing can be prohibited under the Constitution if you obey it. Under the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, that was made perfectly clear. So we shouldn't even have the FDA telling us what cancer treatments we should have, let alone telling us what we can take in terms of medical marijuana. But when we allow that to happen and we allow them to get away with subverting the Constitution and throwing away our individual rights, then we have them coming in and dictating to us that we must take things like vaccines.
Right.
So when we say that they can withhold medical treatment from us, then they can demand that we take medical treatment without our informed consent. That's the problem we get into when we allow them to escape the bonds of the Constitution. Nobody will call them on that, the fact that they have absolutely no authority for any of this war on drugs.
We're going to have to come together and look the Republicans in the eye and say, we know what's going on. You vote against us. You are out of your
job. We're
going to
make ourselves rich. $15 an hour, we're all rich.
Coming up, we're going to take a short break. More from the candidates in a moment.
All right, so they're going to take a quick break. I guess we'll take a quick break as well. We'll be right back.
And it's that type of behavior that spurred me to do the research to develop a true nutraceutical formula that was designed to smooth out and help children focus. All of our children are hit with modern mind control. Television, music, fast food, GMOs, sugars, you name it. Young humans have not yet developed their nervous system and are being hammered daily by globalist concoctions. It's no wonder they can't focus and calm down and then are put on dangerous psychotropic drugs. Working with my team, we set out to find the best formula with the highest quality ingredients that children would actually like and take. We worked with the leading manufacturer in nutritional supplements that are safe for children to bring you the most affordable and powerful calming formula out there. Introducing Child Ease with herbs and calming extracts like chamomile and lemon balm and essential nutrients that taste great. Obtain your Child Ease today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's Child Ease exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
This is a protest, and this is a riot. If you can't tell the difference, then you are part of the problem. InfoWars.com.
I have a dream.
Your liver can be full of fatty deposits, built-up toxins, and even dangerous objects known as liver stones. We worked with the top developers in the field of detox to take tried and true herbs and other compounds known to safely cleanse the liver and fuse it with the latest research and technological development on concentrating these ingredients to give you the maximum effect. Liver Shield is the only liver support product on the market that uses a patented Spigerex blend of powerful organic herbs that support detoxification. And when you visit InfoWarsLife.com, see the instructional video on how to do a 6-day liver detox. This isn't a game, and let me tell you, the results are dramatic. Liver Shield is totally organic and made of the safest high-quality herbs. But that said, you need to consult your physician before you do the full detox. Liver Shield can also be used daily by itself for overall upkeep of the liver. Secure your Liver Shield today exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com for the lowest price available. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to our live coverage of the Democrat debate on CNN. I'm David Knight. Joining me are Leanne McAdoo and Joe Biggs. We've been covering the Democrats as they push for socialism on everything. Of course, we're going to all be wealthy if we will just enact a $15 per hour minimum wage. That and maternity leave, that's going to solve everything. Even though we have open borders, even though we have a massive entitlement state, those are the solutions. And we don't need to worry about the Federal Reserve. We don't need to worry about the multinational corporations that are negotiating these secret government-transforming sovereignty-destroying treaties.
And don't forget free health care for everyone
yeah,
here.
That's right.
Legally.
Well, it's funny how they say they're for small business. They're for, small business and all that. But small businesses can't pay that kind of money.
That's right. That's right. What they want to shut down small businesses for their mega corporations that they claim that they're against, but not really. Yes. Yes, exactly.
And then they want to tax your miles when you drive. And then when you can't afford for that, then you have to go to your driverless cars. Then you have to risk the chance of being hacked and dying.
That's right. Now they're asking him, what enemy did you make during your political career that you're most proud of? I guess she's going to say Jennifer Flowers.
The Iranians.
They both said the NRA.
Probably the Republicans.
Health insurance company.
Yeah, I guess this is the puff question round here.
So now the drug companies were her biggest donors, her and Obama in 2008. Now they're her big enemies?
I would lump Wall Street and the pharmaceutical industry at the top of my list of people who do not like me.
Senator Webb?
Yeah.
Right.
I'd have to say the enemy soldier that threw the grenade that wounded me. But he's not around right now to talk to.
All right. Time for closing statements. Each of you will have 90 seconds. Governor Chafee, let's begin with you.
I guess
thank
he didn't.
Yeah. Thank you, CNN, and thank you, Facebook, for sponsoring.
Okay, this
thank
is
you,
just
Clinton
there.
News Network, for the Ego Stroke Fest.
Yeah, brought to you by Carl's Jr. Brought to you by Carl's Jr. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
This is their.
The doctor who was supposed to give me a facelift and get rid of the bags under my eyes.
Helping Black Americans, helping Native Americans.
Well, I think we can dispense with the closing statements here from these people, because I think we've heard quite enough. We know what their prescription is. They don't want to, their prescription for everything is more mandates.
Yep.
Unless it comes to abortion, they're pro-choice. But no choices about anything else. Any comments from the two of you as to how you see this?
It was predictable.
Yeah. I threw up in my mouth 3 times.
Yeah. Well, that's it for tonight. We're going to go out with a special report from John Bound. Thanks for watching. Stay with us. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern for more of the nightly news. Here's that report from John Bound.
Known for being the real culprits for the chemical attacks on Syrian civilians, al-Nusra, simply a faction of al-Qaeda at war with the Syrian government, launched rocket strikes on the Russian embassy in Damascus. The rockets were likely those supplied by U.S. forces a year ago to the decimated numbers of moderate rebels. Al-Nusra chief Abu Muhammad al-Jilani had just called for attacks on Russian civilians and soldiers. He declared, "If the Russian army kills the people of Syria, then kill their people. And if they kill our soldiers, then kill their soldiers. An eye for an eye." Jilani said in an audio recording released just before the attacks. The detonation of shells at the Russian embassy interrupted a demonstration of supporters for Putin and Assad. No injuries were reported. In the previous 24 hours, the Russian Air Force had made 88 sorties, hitting 86 Islamic State targets. In response, Jilani called on the heroic Mujahideen in the Caucasus to attack Russians. He also offered a bounty for whoever kills Bashar al-Assad and ends his story, even if he is of his own people and family. In addition, he offered a reward for the assassination of Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah in Lebanon. While Russia bombs the anti-Assad forces, Washington continues to fabricate the existence of a moderate rebel army, even brandishing the illusion of rebels with an airdrop of weapons and Toyota trucks. According to Public Radio International, when the U.S. State Department resumed sending non-lethal aid to Syrian rebels, the delivery list included 43 Toyota trucks. Hiluxes were on the Free Syrian Army's wish list. Ubay Shahbander, a Washington-based advisor to the Syrian National Coalition, is a fan of the truck. Specific equipment like the Toyota Hiluxes are what we refer to as force enablers for the moderate opposition forces on the ground, he added. Shahbander said the U.S.-supplied pickups would be delivering troops and supplies into battle. Some of the fleet will even become battlefield weapons. Meanwhile, the regional chaos festers as Israel continues to attack Syrian targets in the Golan. In response to the rocket fire, IDF artillery targeted two military posts of the Syrian armed forces in the central Syrian Golan Heights, an Israeli army statement said on Tuesday. Now, the reckless Obama administration has approved arming the Kurdish YPG militia, a group that has engaged in ethnic cleansing in Syria, forcing thousands of Syrian civilians from their homes.
America leads. We're the indispensable nation. Mm-hmm. Mr. Putin seems to be challenging that leadership.
In what way?
What a tangled web President Obama weaves as he is smack dab in the middle of a proxy regional war that could escalate at any moment as our supposed enemy ISIS utilizes and leaves a trail of evidence of treasonous U.S. battle supplies in the wake of Putin's unyielding assault on anti-Assad forces.
It's no wonder that Obama needs a fiction writer as the White House National Security Advisor, because I imagine it'd be pretty difficult to explain to the public or to convince the public that it's a good idea to arm Al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria. That, my friends, that's a tough sell.
John Bound for Infowars.com.
General, what do you think about the FBI saying that there is a terror alert on Monday about a potential Fort Hood situation?
The police are shoving people, shoving Alex, shoving the crowd.
Here we go, folks. I'm being assaulted.
Whether it's the radio show, the news websites, documentary films, or the nightly news, InfoWars is the tip of the spear.
Is this another false flag stage attack to take our civil liberties and put more homeland security while sticking the hands down on the pants on the streets?
It's up to us to set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. And that's what PrisonPlanet.tv is designed to do.
You watch the Assad regime is going to be blamed or accused of using chemical weapons against the so-called rebels.
What we see now is a war against reality. It's a war against the truth.
It's more vital than ever that supporters of freedom become members of PrisonPlanet.tv and share their membership with up to 11 friends and family. Visit InfoWarsNews.com today. Become a member, share your membership, and help take the info war to the next level.
This is a protest, and this is a riot. If you can't tell the difference, then you are part of the problem. Infowars.com.
Knockout is back.
Begins the debate. We'll begin about a half hour into that broadcast. So we're going to pick it up, cover it live like we did during the Money Bomb. We're going to have live comments. You'll also be able to contact us via Twitter, hashtag DemDebate, D-E-M debate. You'll be able to send